The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday in this side of the world at Gillette Stadium, and we are excited because the official league year starts today at 4 o'clock, unless things change. 4 o'clock today, and that's when a bunch of people will be able to rejoin the Patriots on the practice field. Practice today is at 4:30. It goes until 7.
That's official now?
That is
official. Okay.
The only way it couldn't be official is if, again, CBA rules change midstream and they are allowed to – well, they're allowed to start practice any time, but they don't want to start until after the league year so these guys can be on the field and not waste another day of practice. If they all of a sudden say, oh, league year starts at 12:30, they might move practice up, but I doubt it at this point. It's, you know, they've got the
– I was actually looking at it the other way. If they – had said, you know, the league year is not going to start today, they probably would have had practice at 1:30.
Yeah, because the hell with it.
Because it doesn't matter. Those guys can't practice anyway.
Right.
But it is officially at 4:30, according to the Patriots.
Yep. So 4:30 to 7 is practice today, open to the public. So we're excited to see some of the guys back who couldn't practice because their contracts didn't officially start until today at 4 o'clock. Other than that, the Patriots had their in-stadium practice last night for season ticket holders and Foxborough residents. A little over 18,000 people showed up, and it was a lively practice.
That's an impressive number.
Yeah.
When you say we were talking about that coming down to the studio, and I was saying there was a team, I think it might have been the Packers, who had a similar type. It was a team that you would expect to have a lot of fans show up, and they had literally half that number. It was like 9,000 and change.
Yeah. So, no, it was great. Like I said, lively, although the Patriots weren't in pads, which is a little disappointing.
Oh, they weren't.
They were not.
But you know what? I think for fans' purposes, the passing game, the red zone, that's easy to watch. That's fun to watch. That's something you can keep track of more than if they're in pads and they're doing all kinds of interior run drills. I actually think all that passing work we saw is a good practice to watch. It's entertaining for fans.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Andy's here. Eric's here. Paul's here. Kevin's in the booth. I'm here. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
It's weird. I'm not here.
508-298-0398
I was wondering
is the
where that
ace
voice
ticket hotline. I could be doing remotely from my studio.
That's true. You could have an ISDN
from
line.
From my studio at my home.
Right.
I need to get one of those.
So, one of those real radio professionals.
You know,
wouldn't
so,
that be my line?
So things are really happening around here. We don't have any more news about guys coming in. Yes, they did work out Matt Roth. But we haven't heard anything about him.
There was a little bit of excitement about Osei Umenyiura.
Yeah.
When the Giants gave him permission to seek a trade. And
Patriots were named as one of the teams interested. Now the
Although they didn't make a call. That was the report, that they're interested, but they've never called or whatever.
You know, technically we're interested in everybody.
Right.
You know?
That's why you can report that and never be wrong.
Right.
Because you can prove, if it was like an FBI investigation, they could prove that the scouting department did some research on Umenyiura.
That's right.
Yep.
But now the Giants have rescinded that
the permission
for him to seek a trade. But
that doesn't mean
he's quote unquote fuming.
But that doesn't mean he won't be traded. You still call the Giants
just
and
have
say,
to go through the Giants
I want to trade for it.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So something about the way he was conducting that must have pissed them off.
Did you read his emails, though? He was very well-spoken in his emails to the Associated Press and defending his situation and
the
contracts being one way. There was no anger. It was very factual, point-blank, business-like. It was very well done.
I agree with that, but I also agree with the Giants. I think that you offered the agent a couple of days, whatever, you know, if it was 48 hours, whatever. You can't just say open-ended. You go out and make a deal for yourself and let us know. Yeah. You have to make it so he could possibly be part of the Giants this season. So at some point you say, okay, we understand you're upset. We're not going to be able to meet your demands for this huge contract extension that you want and probably, frankly, deserve. So you go out, broker a deal for yourself. Okay, a time period goes by. You didn't do it. Now, you got to come in here and practice.
Right.
You know, he's not going to sit out.
Right.
And if he does, then...
Yeah,
you know,
you're either focused on playing football or focused on making a deal. It
exactly.
can't be both.
You can't do both. And I thought the Giants were overly accommodating to him to allow him any time to seek a trade.
Right.
But I do agree with Andy. I thought in terms of guys not necessarily honoring their contract, I thought he did it in a professional way, in a well-spoken way.
Let's see. Another guy who the Patriots... We were hoping the Patriots were interested in. Has signed a one-year deal.
Tom Bahali.
Well, no.
He signed more than a one-year deal.
Yeah, no.
No, there was another
guy that we were all interested in, though.
Lawson?
Well, Manny Lawson signed with the Eagles?
Is that Bengals.
The Bengals.
Jared Page signed a one-year deal
Jared
with the
Page
Eagles.
Jared Page is gone. He's with the Eagles.
Was Andy
deal,
shed
think,
a little
right?
bit of a tear.
Ronnie Brown has signed a one-year deal with the Eagles.
Every free agent in the NFL has signed with the Eagles this year.
Is that right?
Despite what you've heard about other teams.
They're all
Everybody's
with the
gone to the Eagles.
For some reason... You know, Michael Vick and Andy Reid and is just the you know the way to go now.
Did you hear
know?
Donovan McNabb called in
he
some
wants to
radio
go to the
show?
Eagles?
No, he called in. And he's,
no, the opposite.
They asked him about that. And he said, "I don't know where they're getting all this money, man." He's like, "I want that's what I want to know."
Well, Adam Schefter came out with the teams that were over the cap and would have to be under by Friday or something like that.
Yep.
And there were about six or seven teams.
Oakland was the biggest at like 15 and a quarter.
Yeah.
Then there was Detroit, Dallas.
Right.
A couple of others that
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is one.
Pittsburgh was about $8 million,
I think.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh is one.
$8-7 million, maybe, something like that.
According to a league source, Pittsburgh has got some things working, possibly with like Roethlisberger's contract, and they very easily will be under.
So the only guy right now who should be signed for the Patriots, or two guys, no, the only guy,
the only guy.
Is Solder, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Everybody
the
else,
only draft pick, yeah,
only
yeah,
draft
absolutely.
Pick, right?
But even free agents.
Well, no, Matt Roth should be signed, and he is.
Well, okay.
I mean, I don't know about their free agents. I don't know who they want to sign.
But guys like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Matt Light,
signed.
You know, Sammy Morris,
signed.
Kyle Arrington, right.
Yes,
they're all signed. So
waiting for the league year to start for those guys.
Todd writes in, screw Nate Solder and his agent.
Well, actually,
tell us what's going on there.
Screw Adrian
Claiborne
and his agent and the Buccaneers.
They bucked it up.
They certainly did, yet again, because apparently they engineered some kind of ridiculous deal for his slot.
Well, he got the guarantees that everybody ahead of Solder got, and the they're in that tweener. We talked about it, I think, on Tuesday or one of the podcasts or something. They're in that mid-range, but Claiborne is three picks after, I believe, Solder. So that agent's saying, well, if the guarantees of 4 years extend to 20, I'm at 17.
Right.
I want my 4 years guaranteed.
Is there anyone before Solder that didn't get a guarantee?
I do not believe so.
Right. So,
now, I also will say that, and I'm not going to pretend to understand the intricacies of the new CBA and these bargaining things, but we had someone who does understand this stuff sort of explain to us yesterday that immediately when they received the new rules – at that meeting on that Friday.
Yeah. At the Geek Fest in Atlanta.
At the Geek Fest in Atlanta when they sort of briefed all of the capologists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that evidently was immediately circulating in the room was there's no limits on guarantees. These first-round picks are going to get all guaranteed money. It took them 5 minutes to realize they erred. And by they, it's the owners. They gave this up. They gave this ability up. So that's why you're seeing so many of these deals. The four-year deals are fully guaranteed because whatever it was, there must have been a very easily cited loophole for the agents to jump through, and thus far they have.
But so I mean, you can side with the Patriots on this one because my guess is
absolutely.
The assumption they're working under is the first half of the first round gets 4 years. The second half, which starts at 17, gets three, guaranteed.
Correct.
And the agent says, well, I'm sorry, 20 got four. I want four.
Yeah. So what do you do if
there's nobody? One's wrong.
Do you sign Matt Light?
Well, do you dig in and say, okay, you want to sit out this year? Go ahead.
I think they did dig in when they re-signed Matt Light for 2 years. I think they gave themselves the insurance policy.
Certainly got a little more leverage there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
Matt Light had signed elsewhere.
I could justify signing Light regardless.
No, but had he signed elsewhere,
then you would have had to sign.
Yurkin without a
net
there.
Now the agent knows.
Now the agent
has
you by
leverage.
Yes.
My guess is at some point Solar says, "What's the difference? I mean, what's the? I mean, it's not a huge $50 million difference. Let's get me in there so I can, you know, have a career."
My guess is the Patriots will win this one because I'm going to go by history and track record.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, it was 6 year contracts for the first round picks, and especially later, like Benjamin Watson in 04, didn't want it. Eventually,
he fired his agent.
Fired his agent, got the 6 year deal.
Do we know who Solder's agent is?
I do, but I forget now.
It wasn't Condon, was it?
No, I don't think so. The five teams were Oakland 15.25, Pittsburgh 8.5, Detroit 7.8, Dallas 6.7, and Houston 3.25 over the cap.
Okay. All right.
Is it Tony Agnone? Or that might be Claiborne's agent. Somebody involved in this agent thing is Tony Agnone.
Every time I see that guy's
Rob's
name, I think of the tight end intern.
The tight end / intern.
He was interning at tight end.
Right.
practice last night. Taylor Lively. Price continues to impress. I think he's making it look easy this year.
Andy's two favorite receivers, Taylor Price and Rob Gronkowski, kicking ace and
taking
names.
Yeah, what did he do last night? I saw a couple of your tweets.
Whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah, Gronk is just a man among boys.
But you said they didn't have pads on.
They didn't have pads on.
So,
no, but one-on-one coverage drill.
But going down,
you're either covered or you're not, and he wasn't.
Going down the seam,
yeah.
Brady just puts it up there. Gronk just reaches up and takes it down. No one else has a chance at the ball.
Was there a
in the red zone, he's unstoppable.
Toys, I was going to say, there was a lot of red zone passing.
Yep, red area.
Red zone.
We were told that Bill Belichick doesn't like, this is not by Bill Belichick, by somebody else, that he doesn't like to use the term red zone.
Oh, yeah, he uses red area all the time, but it's the red zone.
He also says blitz zone instead of zone blitz. What does he have against zone?
Anyway, so, but Gronkowski looked both good in the middle of the field and in the red area.
Zone.
Yep. And in the end zone.
Zone. The end area.
He spent a lot of time in the end zone.
Taylor Price looks like he has the potential to be that field stretcher.
Easy first week of camp.
But he's getting down there, and I know he's not doing it against, you know, Darrell Revis, but he's getting downfield and he's making the catch.
He's already shown significantly more than Brandon Tate ever has.
I saw another note about Darius Butler.
Did not practice.
Wasn't out there at all.
He was out there. He didn't practice. Not in uniform on the field.
That's unfortunate.
Reportedly tweaked a hammy. That's not confirmed, obviously, but
it certainly looked like he tweaked a hammy.
It looks like we talked about, you know, one of these guys,
like
the
he
running
got shot
backs
in the leg
could
by
be
a dart.
Could be on IR. Well, this is the first step toward that. Yep. I think Ridley's your guy that you're going to see this year.
Now number 22. Yeah. Yep. Changed his jersey number to a more svelte 22 from 37.
Oh, did he?
Yes, took Tommy's number, and Solder is now 77, not 74, even though he's not here, but he took Cashier's number.
Did anyone take 37?
I don't know.
Maurice Hurst.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks. Thought you were going to go with Rodney Harrison there.
I also thought it was interesting. Haynesworth did a little running yesterday.
Very little.
Yeah, but it's a step. It's the next step.
No, he did the full running on Tuesday. He took a step back. He did all the conditioning on Tuesday. Didn't do it Sunday. Did it Tuesday. Did a couple and then just stopped and did whatever the hell he wanted last night.
Yeah. But signed for a long time with the fans. Fans loved it.
He did. Spoke with Jason Cole for quite a long time.
Yeah. A lot of the players signed a long time last night. I guess Brandon Spikes signed for 70 minutes after practice.
70. Wow.
So that's a long time. Fans were going crazy. It was a
good
night.
Let's hope he doesn't go on IR now with a wrist injury.
Yeah. It was a good night for them. I thought Brady was a little off.
A little bit.
You know?
He's been a little off all of camp, I think.
Oh, I don't think so.
I do.
I think that's overstating it.
You said he's not having his best camp ever.
Well, last year was his best camp ever.
So he's been a little off.
That was
I thought when they went to the red area that
zone.
He,
don't fall into that trap, Paul. Call it the red. Call it what it is.
I thought when he went to the red zone, he was pretty
the red area channel.
Pretty sharp. I thought early in practice during individual work with wide receivers against cornerbacks,
yep.
I thought he was a little erratic.
Mm-hmm.
A couple
didn't
of balls came out of his
once.
Ball off came out of his hands awfully funny. He usually throws a very tight spiral to me. Like I think there's a noticeable difference with him, the way the ball looks in the air with him. And I've seen occasionally in camp he's had some ducks. Very atypical of him. Hmm. But I thought later in the practice last night, especially with Gronkowski, just completely unstoppable.
Right.
Completely
just playing
unstoppable.
Catch. There was another. Oh, Ocho Cinco, I think, is improving daily.
Yeah, he was good last night.
Yeah. And putting in a lot of effort to do so with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
during
I mean,
and
if
post.
If he doesn't live up to expectations this year, it's not because of lack of effort.
No, it'll mean he's just done. He's lost his diminished skills.
He's working hard.
Getting open? Is that what you mean, or just actually catching the ball?
How do I think he's improved?
Yeah.
Yeah, just catching the ball and his route running with Brady. I think he's getting better every day. And like I said, if he doesn't get that production that we're hoping this year, it's not because he's not trying. He is really, every practice, putting in the extra work, just the little things that might make a difference for him this year.
Yeah, I don't think effort. He plays hard. Now, I think he's working harder away from the game. He's working harder on getting on the same page as Brady.
Yep.
He has to.
Yeah. He didn't have to learn the offense since he knew it, so there's a difference. I mean, it's obvious that he'd be
you have to imagine he's more motivated to do that extra work now that he feels like he actually has a legitimate chance of doing something.
In a rut. A terrible rut there.
Absolutely. You knew there was no hope. He was playing on a team that could not win.
I don't care how professional you are, how internally driven, you can be worn down by your environment.
Yeah, and sure. I think he played hard. I'm not saying that he dumped and he quit and all that stuff. He's not T.O., I don't think he did that, but there's no question to me that his attitude, and Jason Cole talked about that. And the reason why I use Jason Cole is just because he's a national guy who goes to different camps. And he talked to Ocho about it last night, and he said, this is as hard as I've seen him practice in 4 years.
As we know, the Patriots are down to 3 quarterbacks in camp now. They released Jonathan Crompton. Andy,
straight
if you
out
had
of
to make a decision right now, you can only keep Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett. Who do you keep?
Mallet.
You keep Mallet.
But it's the upside that I'd be
right.
keeping.
Right, yeah. You're not doing it for what he
would
do today.
I would close my eyes and cross my fingers for 2011.
Right. Yeah.
But Andy's got the right answer.
But you're seeing what you need to see in Mallet that you say someday he could be.
Yeah, he's inconsistent. Okay. He makes great throws, makes terrible throws. Had a Drew moment where he threw a ball into the end zone.
Why is that a Drew moment?
Fred, this was a Drew moment. He threw the ball, a gun, right in the middle, but it was not on target with the receiver, went straight through the end zone, hit like the upright, and then gave it the old slap of the hands in front of him, which Drew did 1,000 times.
He did.
1,000 times.
The only thing missing
career.
Was the chin strap.
The chin strap throwdown.
Now I'm just waiting for him to come to the line of scrimmage, scan the defense, and then give that, a perturbed timeout that he'd have to call.
Yeah. Right.
But
that's true.
But he doesn't do the little double tap thing that Drew used to do initially, does he?
No. But he has a very inconsistent release and delivery.
There are times
it
takes him forever
ways.
To get rid of the ball, and other times it's out in the blink.
So I don't know what the process of getting that fixed will be like, because you want it to always be
quick.
Like
this show. Right. What was that?
What the hell's going on over there?
Yesterday,
if I had to pick just one producer, Kevin or anyone else, who would I take?
Ray.
Anyone else.
Yesterday,
better to look at.
I was at an event before practice last night for the rookie season ticket holders. And Robert Kraft spoke, Jonathan Kraft spoke, Nick Caserio spoke, Marcus Cannon spoke. And
they were all good.
In the middle of Marcus Cannon speaking, all of a sudden the sound system starts playing this ad for the hall at Patriot Place.
Presented by Raytheon.
And it's just like, and everyone's just looking around like, what the hell is going on? Poor Marcus Cannon.
Presented by Raytheon.
What a baby face he has.
Cannon?
Marcus Cannon. He looks like he's like 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, you know what's happening.
What?
The players that the Patriots are acquiring through the draft every year are starting to get a little younger.
He doesn't look younger than Danny Woodhead, though.
I think he does.
Danny Woodhead looks like he's in seventh grade.
But this is even more of a baby face. Woodhead is a pubescent face.
Right.
Woodhead looks so young because he's so small, in addition to having that kind of like straggly hair and a
little bit of fuzz.
Yeah,
and
right.
This Cannon is baby face. Yeah. Kind of like, who was it? We had another one. Was Greg Robinson
Randall?
Greg
Robinson Randall
was
had a little bit
he
of
had
baby
a baby face.
Face.
Yeah.
Hopefully he turns out a little better than Gurr.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go take a call. Nathan from Marlboro's on the line, wants to talk about Randy Moss. Hey, Nathan.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Great. What's up?
Good. I'm a big Randy Moss fan, but I didn't catch the last half of your show, but I don't think that Randy Moss should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. I know he had his record-breaking season with Tom Brady here, but I just feel that if that game that should not be mentioned was won, I think that he deserved the place. But since that we never got that title, it's hard to say that he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I kind of agree with you, Nathan. You know, I think his record will be in the Hall of Fame and mentioned in the museum. But I kind of side with you. But I'm pretty tough on all this.
He should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind. Third in touchdowns for career receiving touchdowns, third all time. For the team, three of the top four in terms of touchdowns in a single season in his three seasons here in Patriots history.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the top like five receiving yardage. I mean, the guy had three straight 1,000-yard seasons with double-digit touchdowns. Sorry, that puts you in the Hall of Fame. This isn't a team that has Reggie, Jerry Rice, and 100 other great receivers. They have Stanley Morgan. That's it.
Well, that's kind of the point, though. That's kind of the point.
Yeah,
he's great. You know, if you had a lot of other receivers, then you say, well, then you got to put Moss in. But the fact that they only have Stanley Morgan in might be a case to keep him out.
Yeah. No, but I think I agree with Andy because you're looking at 40-plus years of history, and he's the second best receiver who's ever suited up for your team. That's
because,
a Hall of Famer.
Because the bar's low on this team.
No, because he's better than everybody else.
Right. Irving Fryer was here.
I think the guys are starting to sway me in that direction. I initially thought, no, career wasn't long enough here. But then when you look at he backed up a lot of
the only thing I will say, it does a short amount of time.
If you're going by pure numbers, then he goes in.
Yeah, well, the one thing I wouldn't go in, and no disrespect to Nathan, but the winning or losing the Super Bowl 42 has nothing to do with, to me, an individual's
No, because he did what he had to do.
Credentials.
He did what he had to do in that game. Yeah. He caught the touchdown that should have won the game.
Even if he didn't, I wouldn't necessarily hang that. The guy had a great Patriots career.
Going into the Hall, a team Hall of Fame should be, what did this guy do over a period of time for our team?
3,000-yard season, double-digit touchdowns.
He was immense.
Like, he averaged a touchdown a game as a
Patriot. The only argument against him is longevity.
Right.
Yeah. The only argument against him.
Same, like with,
Nathan, what's your argument against it?
I feel that just if he would have made, like if Brady would have made those throws, because he was open in the Super Bowl a lot, but Brady never had the time to make it to him. Like even on that last drive of the play, he was in double coverage and broke it on that when we had how much time was that? Like a minute?
Under a minute, and he did have the coverage beat.
But Brady was under
the
duress.
He broke it and overthrew it. But if that catch would have made it, I think our hearts would tell us we got to put him in there. But, like, I agree with everything Andy's saying. Like, it feels like I want him in there because he's my favorite receiver, second favorite receiver of all time. But it's just, I don't know, for some reason I can't see putting Randy Moss in there when they didn't win that game. I don't know why, and those catches would have been
It's more like if they had won that game, he's a lock in your mind, it sounds like.
Yes, if they would have got that, it's a lock. Because, like, for me, he's right on that edge, and I know it's not his fault because Bray had no time to get him those balls and that he was open for, but for some reason, I just feel that they didn't win it, so I can't see him in there. You know what I mean?
This debate's going to rage. You know, the Patriots.
It's a good one.
Thanks for the call,
Nathan. It will be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots' rules of eligibility, it's 4 years after retirement, so
correct,
that it's 1 year before he would be eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So that would be, I would say, roughly, I don't know, 2017 he'll be
eligible?
If he stays
retired?
You can get that.
Because he's going to come back?
It. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So what about Curtis Martin, then? Longevity, but he was still one of the greatest running backs in the team's history.
Yeah, see, again, I say no. I'm just tough.
Yeah, see, Martin is a very, very similar case as what Andy talked about. He is right up there in all of the team annals. However, I don't think he was as special
right
as Moss. So I'm going to say no to Curtis Martin.
I would agree 100% with Paul.
Nicer man, though.
Wow, God.
Because he had a good...
Name somebody who's not.
If he had Corey Dillon's season as one of his, which you could say, no questions asked, greatest season by a Patriot running back, Moss has that. Martin doesn't quite. Yeah. He had great years, but not the best ever.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't put Dillon in either.
I wouldn't either.
Even though he is the single season. No, he's the single season Patriot.
If Dillon had 3,000-yard seasons, he'd be in for me. If he had three 1,200-yard seasons with one 1,600-yard season, I'd have Dillon in, too.
Yeah, probably not. I probably
wouldn't.
But he didn't.
He fell off so dramatically that it's not even a conversation.
I probably wouldn't unless it was like... Well, no, there's no question, but that's not the only
reason. Now we get into the problem with Hall of Fame voting.
It's not the only reason. I mean, it's hard to say because you're adding a significant amount of yardage to his other 2 years. But to me, if he was, you know, maybe another Super Bowl and maybe another Super Bowl appearance or something like that, like Moss, then maybe I would have to reluctantly say, okay, he was that single season in 04, that was the best Patriots individual rushing season. What Moss did was historic in NFL annals.
No, I know.
There's a big difference.
But I'm saying comparing it to Curtis Martin. Curtis Martin's isn't even the best Patriots season. If he had that, you'd have another argument for
it. No, it was until Dillon broke it.
But it's not.
Right. But Martin had those two other 1,000-yard seasons that you're giving Dillon, and I wouldn't put Martin in.
Right.
You know,
do you know what I'm saying?
Are there a lot of
But would you if he had 1,800 yards and 18 touchdowns one of those years?
Probably not unless it was...
I think I would.
Unless it was a more of a team... It led to more team success. But again, I don't... That's not my criteria. That's not my lone criteria like a lot of other people. Well, he didn't win a Super Bowl. You know, there's plenty of guys that are great.
It can't be because there'd be too many great guys that didn't win Super Bowls that would be ineligible then. Yeah. You can't do that.
I think Martin deserves it.
Are there a lot of people in the NFL who, you know, assuming all teams have a Hall of Fame, would be in two teams' Hall of Fame? Now, you got to put Moss in the Vikings Hall of Fame, right?
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
So are there a lot of guys like that that have that type of success with two teams? That
there probably aren't a lot, but
Nick
Bonaconi? I'm sure there are some.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Bonaconi would be a good one. That's a good one.
Mike Haynes?
Yeah,
Mike
absolutely.
Haynes is probably.
Yeah,
they're all people that leave the Patriots. Yeah, right.
Let's see. Quarterbacks come to mind, but I'm trying to think. You know, who had success? Steve Young did not have success with the Buccaneers.
No.
You know,
there's a lot of guys that played on different teams, but I wouldn't necessarily call them Hall of Famers.
How about Doug Williams? Know. Speaking of Tampa Bay, moving on.
No,
because was he? I mean, because he spent a good amount of time in Tampa Bay,
but he wouldn't have been in Washington.
Yeah.
He was a backup in Washington.
I thought maybe because of the Super Bowl year.
That was it, though.
Jeff Hostetler's not going in the Giants Hall of Fame. He basically is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
You bring up a good question.
Good question.
But as we often do
Marshall
here,
Falk?
Marshall Falk is a guy that could be in two Hall of Fame.
That's a good one.
Rams and Colts.
Did you hear, by the way, did you hear Peyton Manning talk about
Eric
Marshall
Dickerson?
Falk?
Eric Dickerson as well? For the same teams? It's just kind of weird.
Yeah. Other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a fun game.
That is a fun game.
Somebody should have brought it to us during the lockout.
Yeah. I wish we had more guys that we could compare.
Quick question, tangent-wise, completely off subject. What's going on with Danny Watkins and some guy, Mike Patterson? Have you heard this story?
Well, Mike Patterson.
Mike Patterson had a seizure, right?
At practice.
He's got serious brain tangled blood vessels in his brain that required surgery.
And what did Danny Watkins do to help him? Because apparently there are all these tweets in the last couple of days.
He was the first on this. He's a paramedic. He's the firefighter.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't know what he did.
I don't know that he
actually did anything.
He assisted in the immediate attention given to him.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Something happened out on the field.
He just ran over and started.
Yeah, he was the first responder
because he was one of our guys in the in the.
I got another one who's
combine
in
process.
Multiple halls of fame, perhaps three teams Hall of Fame.
Who's that?
Deion
Sanders.
Atlanta, he's got to be in Atlanta and he's got to be in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. And either.
Now, I don't know if
what about Terrell Owens?
I don't know if he's technically in that ring of fame that Dallas has yet, but he deserves
right.
to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you could. I don't know how long he played in San Francisco.
I think he only played.
If I would add
one
him.
Year, actually,
but,
right?
Didn't but he go two there anyway. He's got to be in Atlanta. And he's got to be in Dallas.
Yeah,
that's a good game. We'll play that some other time.
You know, March.
Well, we'll come up with the two Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame,
or multiple. Because
I
there
like
could
the
be
Rams Colts one with Dickerson and Falk potentially.
Yeah, I think both of those guys would be
well. The
candidates.
Colts and the Ravens
Jerome
would have
Bettis?
Something going too.
Rams, Steelers. Was Bettis good enough with the Rams?
I don't think Bettis was good enough.
I don't think he was that
good. You know what's funny about that? That's the The first name that came to mind was Jerome Bettis, but I don't think he was great with the Rams.
Okay. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the phone number. Let's get to some emails because we have quite a few
of them.
People want to get in. Alex in Falmouth, he says, I noticed a photo on the Herald site of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis posing in boxing gloves. Knowing Tom Brady used boxing as a training tool in 2010, I wonder if we can arrange a charity match between the two Patriots players for the offseason. It would be an interesting matchup, a quarterback with significant height and reach advantage against a small, quick running back who relies on the preference of the former for his touches on game day. All right. Why did I read that email?
I thought that was funny.
It's funny?
Yeah, I know, but I think he's serious.
Oh. It's not as funny if he's serious.
Let's see. Jackknife writes in. It's actually James V in the UK. Likes to call himself Jackknife.
Jackknife.
Very happy to see football.
Jake Steele.
Return. I know. Loving your coverage.
This guy is throwing stones.
Jack the Ripper.
Loving your coverage of training camp. Just wish the site's RSS feeds worked how they did before the change.
We wish a lot of things worked on that site.
I love the fact that we rarely get criticized for content. It's always the technology that gets criticized.
You can get everything you need.
All we can do, is post.
What's wrong with the RSS feed?
They work differently.
What does that mean?
It means the way you would get feeds into whatever you needed your feed is works a little different, but it still works. You can still get it. Have you
more
spoken?
Complicated.
Thank you, politician.
Have you spoken to Mike Wright at all this training camp? Obviously,
Shortly. He's
been out there. How does he look? Will he make the
Briefly.
Team? Was interested to see that he leads the team in sacks last year with 5.5.
He did, despite missing five games.
Then he has a game.
I would be surprised if he didn't make the team.
I think he's good.
He looked fine.
Yeah.
He seems to be
been
recovered
on the field,
finally.
That's great.
And, yeah.
And he's banged heads and
been
fine.
He's been in full pads hitting, and that's great.
I saw him do the hand drill with Kyle Love, and he looked really good.
Yeah, just the fact that he's out there, I think, is great.
You know who looked terrible at the hand drill? Haynesworth. Couldn't get it. Couldn't figure it out.
Couldn't do it. We were watching that.
Really?
Freddie, Andy, and I were watching that last night. Right, it was right on the sideline, right in front of us after practice.
Yeah,
you know, during the opportunity work, could not do it. The old Anthony Pleasant drill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's like a staple around the league. And I mean,
yeah, I don't know if you know, he's not a high motor guy. He's also not a hand drill guy.
Apparently not.
Here's
not
the game.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Drill.
Yeah, we didn't. Our last show was Tuesday before Albert Haynesworth spoke.
Oh, okay.
Right? We haven't even addressed that he spoke and
he was
the
impressive.
Interesting aspects.
That's right. That was Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
He was impressive in speaking with the media.
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. He had a couple of hiccups, but.
See, Paul and I have a disagree. I agree.
We're
going to
get. We'll get to this. But he was impressive. Couple of little known facts. He's a closet Patriots fan. You know,
aren't they all?
It's a big closet. Must be a
walk-in
closet.
He has a friend in New Hampshire, a very close friend, and he's been sort of a Patriots follower for a while.
Really?
And no, I don't think they all attend the AFC Championship game in 2007 on tickets from Rodney Harrison.
In section 377 or wherever he was.
Yeah, I think that was kind of funny. He says he's been an admirer of Belichick. And how he, runs a team and puts a team together, detail oriented and whatnot, and basically, as we all thought he would, insisted on saying every time anything was brought up about Washington, that's in the past, and we're going to leave it there. I'm looking forward to being Albert Haynesworth, the Patriot.
And his job is to kill the quarterback.
Doesn't care how that job is done. Get in the back, kill the quarterback, get the running back. I don't care what gap we're playing, as long as the gap is where I am.
I just want to be
in the gap where the ball is.
Yeah.
The one question that Andy just alluded to that was an unbelievable eyebrow raiser to everybody except for Fred was he was asked if he would consider himself a high-motor player. His response was, a high-motor player is Kyle VandenBosch, guys who run around with batteries up their butt. That's not me.
Behind is what
and
the transcript said.
I have no problem with that.
They can't put butt in the transcript.
They put behind in the transcript.
Pretty sure he said butt.
Really?
He did say butt.
I have no problem with that. I don't know why you do. I mean,
because I like guys who at least pretend that but, they but, try all the
but
time.
But I think he's honest. He's not one he's of those guys that it was absolutely Clay Matthews Fred, running around all over the
I
place.
I could not agree with you more. He was as honest as you could be. He admitted that he doesn't play hard all the time.
That's not what he said.
That's
saying.
What he was saying.
Don't compare him to a different position. How about you compare him to Vince Wilfork?
I think he's
guy at the same
exactly
position.
The guy.
He's a high-motor guy.
Vince Wilfork is a high-motor nose tackle.
I think he says he plays.
Casey Hampton is a high-motor nose tackle.
He's not saying that he doesn't play up to his ability. He's saying that he just doesn't have the ability to do what those guys do.
Vince Wilfork.
Well, he might have bad knees, like you
Wait
said.
Wait a minute. You're saying that he doesn't have the ability to do it?
To run around like those guys? No, he doesn't. He doesn't have,
he doesn't have the ability to run around like Casey Hampton or Vince Wilfork?
I Jamal probably Williams. Doesn't. He probably
Back
doesn't.
In the day, I know he's Jamal Williams, not that guy anymore, but come on.
You know? He's not a high motor guy.
I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it, but that was a troubling comment.
His definition of a high motor guy like Kyle Van Der Bosch, and I'm sure that he's throwing some other guys, when he thinks of that, he's other guys in mind.
Mike Wright.
He doesn't do that.
That's the other issue. And we always talk about this. We kind of joke about it when we're doing college prospects, and everybody says, this guy's a high motor guy, that guy's. It's often also a racial issue. Most people always assume the white guy is the high motor guy. Chris Long, he's a high motor guy. The kid out of, was it Nebraska that also went to the Rams?
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. They're all high motor guys, and he picked Kyle Van Den Bosch.
The other kid from
Arizona.
There's
a racial thing there, too, that goes on.
Brooks Reed.
Brooks Reed. All the high motor guys, for the most part, are
white. I think this went largely sort of unnoticed. Everybody wrote that quote in their stories and put in brackets Detroit's Kyle Van Den Bosch. Kyle Van Den Bosch was his teammate in Tennessee.
Right.
To me, that should have been former Tennessee teammate Kyle Van Den Bosch, which is how we wrote it.
Well, of course.
Next time he'll say Mike Wright, because it's now his teammate.
Right. And that to me,
eyebrows did not raise.
That
as
was
much
a trouble. Well, let me tell you something.
If
you
said it for the Jets, they would have.
You were the only one who didn't have his eyebrows raised.
I completely got what he was what he meant by that. You know, it's not.
But what,
I'm not a guy who doesn't try.
But he said it with a kind
if
of
the balls over there. Don't stain on his face.
What do you think he meant by it then? Explain.
When we think of high motor guys, we think about those whirling dervishes that are always moving on every play, running around like a nut. And he doesn't do that.
But wait a minute.
Paul, in your definition,
here we go, Andy.
No,
oh, it's
Paul,
on like
in your
Kong.
Definition, Vince Wilfork is a high motor guy. I bet you his definition he isn't.
But what I'm saying is, claiming that he thinks a high motor player is not very good? He just has to run around all the time?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, so what do you? I don't really understand what basically you're making a leap here to say what you think he thinks
of
a high motor. Kyle Van Den Bosch is a very, very good football player. He tries hard.
Is
Dominican Sue a high motor guy?
Absolutely.
Yes, he is.
Yes, the answer is yes.
I'm not sure in his definition he
Who?
Would say
Who's
that.
Who's this his?
But
Albert.
So basically you're saying it's a white guy.
No, it's one of those guys that, you know, like he's always running around in every play and probably a guy that plays, you know.
That defines Sue, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that Albert Haynesworth is not saying high motor guy is a guy who is not that good.
Jim
but
Hero.
Hustles. That's not what he's saying. I think what he's saying is it's that guy that on every play, he just never stops until the whistle blows, and he's just after
See, to
the
to me,
whistle,
high motor guys.
Isn't that supposed to be 11 guys?
Yeah. High motor guys don't take plays off.
Right.
To me. That's what it's describing to me. High effort, high energy guys.
I don't think that Albert
Ray
when the
Lewis
ball,
to me is a high motor guy.
When the ball goes the other way, they're
going
to try.
Fame, high
gonna,
motor
even
guy.
Though they have like a 1% chance. Benjamin Watson chasing down Champ Bailey was a high motor play. I'm not going to give up, even though I have a 1% chance of playing it. It doesn't have anything to do to me with ability.
But I would prefer to use the examples of you can be physically gifted, like Haynesworth clearly is, and still be a high motor guy. Ray Lewis is the greatest linebacker to ever play the game, potentially,
and he's all over
and he's
the
a
field
high motor guy.
Absolutely,
Dominican Sue is one of the great rookies to ever have a first season. Is a high motor guy. Vince Wilfork is one of the best nose tackles in football. Yep. Is a high motor guy. Because you're talented doesn't mean you deserve to take plays off.
I think that in Albert's mind, a high motor guy is not Vince Wilfork.
Well,
why not?
You're speaking for him, and maybe you're right. I don't know.
I don't think that Albert Haynesworth's intention was to come up and say, I don't try hard. Because that's what you're saying he said.
But to me, a high motor guy.
I don't think he tries 100% on every play. I think he monitors himself. He measures when in to use it all and when not to.
And I think a lot of guys, big defensive linemen, do that.
I don't think the great ones do either. And to me, that's what we're talking about here. To me, is Vince Wilfork, and that play in Denver always sticks out. The game the Patriots lost in overtime, running down a backside screen that a nose tackle had absolutely no business being out in space, making a tackle on a guy like LeSean McCoy.
I mean, you've seen Albert Haynesworth.
No, not LeSean McCoy. Okay. No, Sean Moreno.
You think he could make – he has the ability to make that play?
On the ability? Yeah. Albert Haynesworth? Yeah. Absolutely.
On the sideline?
But let me – he has the ability to do anything you want.
So, Fred, let me ask you a question.
I think in a small space he can, but I think if you're –
I think he's as
athletic
as any of those guys.
If you're asking him to go sideline to sideline, he can't
do it. Was Warren Sapp a high motor player?
That's a great example.
I would say yes, he is.
That's a great example.
Let me ask you – he's a different guy than Albert Haynesworth. He's not that type of athlete. He doesn't have the same body makeup.
$5.5 million. Warren, I would hope that you.
Let me ask you a question.
Warren Sapp was a different type of body type. Albert Haynesworth.
They're over 300 pounds, and they shoot the gap.
I don't think that
maybe Albert Haynesworth is a couple inches taller.
I don't think Albert Haynesworth could do that. And I think that's what he's saying.
I know he couldn't because he says he won't.
If Richard Seymour had made the exact same comment in his opening press conference with the Oakland Raiders, you would have shredded him to pieces. That's why we traded him, because he's not willing to go out.
No.
Okay, well, let's just
move on. I don't,
Paul, he's in that state where he's not going to be truthful, so let's just move on.
Okay.
You're not being honest.
So when I disagree,
you're not being honest.
When you disagree with me, you're being honest.
You're not being honest.
Okay.
You're not, because that's the same thing.
I think Albert Haynesworth understands.
I personally believe Richard Seymour monitored his energy at
times. I do, too.
Okay.
I do too.
And you would rip him if he said that going to the
Raiders.
No, I
wouldn't. Yeah.
You'd say that's why we traded him.
I think Albert
I wouldn't call Richard Seymour a high motor player.
I wouldn't either.
He picked and chose when he was a high motor guy.
But if Richard Seymour says I'm not a high motor guy, would you rip him for that?
Yes.
Why?
I personally don't think Richard Seymour is a high motor guy. He didn't maximize
it on
every
player out there on the field should be giving it his all.
So you think that Richard Seymour took plays off?
Yep. Yes.
I do. And I think that irritated him.
But I think a lot of defensive linemen do that.
Not the best.
Not the truly best.
If you're really.
I think what Haynesworth was saying is I have limitations and I know what they are.
That's different than giving it your effort 100% on every
play. I think you're giving them a pass.
That's different. That's completely different.
I don't think he went out there to tell people
I think he was annoyed with the questions about Washington and about how he was perceived and about his refusal to play in certain schemes, and one of the follow-up questions after that, because he kept saying, well, that was, you know, what people said about my name, you know, it was all about restoring his name, and it came in that context, in that sequence, and then someone said, well, would you consider yourself a high motor player? You know, forget about what other writers think. What would you think of yourself? And he comes out and says, no, I wouldn't.
So why
do
wouldn't
that.
He just say yes if he's trying to restore his name?
Because I think he was being honest. You said that he was honest. I agree with you. I think he was being honest.
I think you're right.
I'm not one of these guys that's going to give you 60 snaps at 100% every game.
And I don't think he can.
No, I think I think he can, but I think you might be right when you touched on it earlier and said that he thinks he's at that greatness level, which I think he is too, that he can afford to take those plays off. But like Randy Moss would sometimes, he was so great, he could afford sometimes to take the plays off. I think Haynesworth thinks of himself in that category for his position. And gets offended when somebody compares him to a high motor guy, because I think in his mind, a high motor guy is someone who has to work 100% on every play, or else he's not going to be good.
Well,
but what Andy and Paul and I are saying is, even the great ones like Ray Lewis and the other names that we mentioned were great at that level and still gave it their all on every play.
I think
that's what separates the really great ones from guys like...
This is what I think, and I'm not being dishonest, as Andy would say, you know. I think that he thinks that I just don't have the ability to be. I'm not one of those guys. I can't be one of those guys.
Oh, I think he does think he is.
When he thinks of a high motor guy, it's a guy that does stuff that he can't do from a hustle standpoint.
I think there's nobody who can't hustle. I think he's thinking of it in derogatory terms. A high motor guy is a derogatory thing.
Oh, that's not me. Oh, I don't think. What, you think he was saying that Kyle Van der Bosch wasn't a good player?
That's what I think he was saying. I don't think he thinks he's physically skilled and gifted.
I don't think he was saying that.
Oh, I do.
I just think it's a different type of player that he realizes that he's not. That's all I think.
A little bit, but I don't want to read into that.
Yeah,
because I don't know what he was thinking when he said it. But I got the impression that he was thinking those guys that run around with batteries in their butt, they do that because they have to.
That's
survive
what you
in the
think,
league.
Paul.
No, that's not what I. I just told you. I think Vince Wilfork. I think Ray Lewis. Yeah. That's what I think of high motor guys.
I think that he's
now. You think if Vince Wilfork didn't chase down screen passes and sweeps to the opposite side, that he wouldn't be in the league? Of course he would.
I think that what Haynesworth was saying again, I'm not being dishonest. This is what I truly think. That he's just not one of those. He doesn't do what those guys do, and it's just not who he is. And, you know, I don't think he meant to say that I don't try hard and I don't care, you know, because I don't give 100% on every play. I think Richard Seymour cares about football and being a good player. He didn't give 100% on every play.
Well, I also think Richard Seymour cares about Richard Seymour a lot.
Well, yeah.
And I think Albert Haynesworth cares about Albert Haynesworth a lot. It's about those
but
guys.
I think what Haynesworth is saying is, you know, defensive linemen aren't those types of guys for the most part, you know.
The great ones are.
The interior guys.
The really great ones are.
The great ones are, and that's what makes them great.
You think Bruce Smith was?
He was definitely a high motor
Reggie
guy.
Reggie White?
Yeah. One of the great ones. Reggie White was one of the great ones.
Yeah, but those guys were defensive ends, traditional
4-3
defensive ends, you know, who were not interior linemen.
Vince Wilfork's a 3-4 nose tackle who we just gave you.
It's a big difference in the makeup of the player.
Warren Sapp, let's go back to that.
Warren Sapp was a freak.
So what's Vince Wilfork? What's the excuse for him? Why? How come he can hustle?
I don't think he can do what Warren Sapp did. You know?
I do. They haven't let him do it.
And we're talking about hustle. You know, we're not talking about what we asked you to do.
Ted Johnson a high motor guy?
Yeah.
I mean, not Ted Johnson. Ted Washington?
Yeah, I think the difference is Ted Washington would come off the field. But Ted Washington would tap out.
All right, but I don't think Albert Haynesworth thinks that Ted Washington was a high motor guy. That's what I'm just saying. His definition of it is just these types of guys aren't high motor guys.
Is he going to think Wilfork's a high motor guy when they sit in the defensive line room and he watches them run around and chase down a screen from behind?
Well, we'll see. I've also seen Vince Wilfork sit on his butt after a play and not get up. Okay?
Oh, I haven't.
I have.
I haven't.
You know?
Show me the tape.
In terms of like a lack of effort?
No. Out of the play. You know, like Paul said, I got a 1% chance of making this play. Why bother?
If you're truly out of the play, then yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. Well, everybody does that.
I think that.
But high motor guys don't do that.
I think the 100%.
Oh, I think they do. No one says, the whistle didn't blow yet, so I'm going to run 5 million miles that way.
Except for Teddy Bruschi.
Those are called gym heroes, not high motor guys.
But I think that's what Albert's definition is those guys no matter what. That's what I think he was saying.
No, you said you don't think that he would consider Ted Washington one of those guys.
I
bet you he would consider Kelly Gregg one.
I don't know.
I'll bet he would.
Kelly Gregg.
I'll bet he would.
Yeah.
Same kind of player. He's Ted Washington, only smaller.
Well, you know, you'd have to ask.
I bet you he thinks Tim Goad was.
But I think that's what he was saying.
Jim Burt.
He's got that definition of those types of guys that traditionally we call high motor guys, and he's just not one.
But I
think he was just being honest. I don't think he was out there saying.
I do think he was being completely honest, but I think we're saying maybe this is why Albert Haynesworth hasn't lived up to his talent. Because in his core, he has these internal limitations, these views of what is right and wrong. And we're saying when you mix Haynesworth type talent and the high motor work ethic, then you get a great player who consistently is great for 3, 4, 5, 6 years in a row.
Are you trying to, if you're going to say that, does Albert Haynesworth have a high motor work ethic? The answer is absolutely no. He does not.
You can't say that when he said that he doesn't.
He does not.
Okay.
But I'm separating now what I do on the field in my total approach to the game, work ethic. This is what I do off the field as well. I don't think he's got that.
But they often go hand in hand too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I do think,
you know, these guys like Julian Edelman, he's doing sprints when everybody's, you know, that's a high motor guy, you know.
I want to separate those guys.
Yeah.
I want to include guys of great talent. So if you want to say Ty Law, he was always doing those sprints when he wasn't on the – give me guys that are of equal talent.
Well, I would say Ty Law was not a high-motor guy.
I would probably agree.
Yet he was a Hall of Famer.
But I'm not – but you're missing the
water's
point.
The getting so muddy again.
This is not about like 100% effort on every play, on 100% of the plays.
But that's what I think Albert thinks it is. Personally, in sports, I think that's the most overrated element of sports. The point is, I think that's what Albert thinks it is.
I don't think he was talking about it.
Well, I disagree with you there. I think that's what he's talking. I think in order, in his mind, to be a high motor guy, you have to be one of those guys that are 100% on every play.
Right.
And he doesn't do that.
And he's not.
And there's a lot of guys that don't do that.
Therefore, he admitted that he doesn't always play hard.
Yeah. I don't think Ty Law gave 100% on every play.
Yeah.
You know, but
But I'm not confusing it with this is a disaster now because this guy is saying he doesn't play hard. We named two former Patriots who were great players who I would take any day of the week who I would admit didn't always play 100% on every play.
Right.
Ty Law and Richard Seymour.
Right.
It's not about Albert Haynesworth said he doesn't play hard. I don't want him now. I'm just saying I thought it was surprising that he would come out and admit that. I don't think Richard Seymour would admit that, and I don't think Ty Law would admit that. I do think it's accurate. I just don't think they would come out and say it.
Right.
That's what made my eyebrows raise when Haynesworth said it, especially a guy who clearly was spoken to and coached for this media appearance. For him to say right. that to me was
well,
surprising.
Now, okay, so you're coaching Albert Haynesworth, and the question is, do you consider yourself a high-motor guy? How would you coach him to answer that?
I play hard on every play. I play to the best of my ability. It's easy. You don't have to sit there and tell you, well, I can rattle off chapter and verse of these plays that I've made that show you how hard I'm playing all the time. When I'm on the field, I play to the best of my ability.
Or
that's
even,
all.
And if you even want to take it a
but
step further.
But in his mind, that's not the definition of a high-motor guy.
How do you know what's in his mind? You keep saying
Richard
that.
Seymour would say that he plays to the best of his ability, but he's not a high-motor guy. We've all determined that. We all agree with that. The only thing you're saying, Paul, is Richard Seymour would never say that he's not a Paul.
Exactly. Yes.
But if that's but what's the difference? I don't think my eyebrows not raised because Haynesworth stated the truth.
The history is the difference.
Well that
that's the difference.
Yeah, you factor that in absolutely. But
because he's trying to rehab
but,
his image.
But
his
like
name.
I said, I didn't like. Wow, I can't believe he admitted that. I did not think that at all.
Because you know a guy like Seymour doesn't say it. So if you look at a play of his and you think he might have been dogging it. You kind of have to give him the benefit of the doubt and
right.
think maybe he's exhausted,
right.
whatever.
And that's the reason why no one would ever ask Richard Seymour that question. The reason why someone would ask Albert Haynesworth that question is because he has dogged it in the past.
Right.
And he has given up on plays.
But now that he says that he's not a high-motor guy, people are going to – now they can say, well, he said it, so now we know he's taking this play off.
Yeah.
Whereas with somebody else, you could say, give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's spent. He has been giving it his all. He can't do it on this
right.
play.
But, you know, again, I don't think that that's what Haynesworth was saying about himself.
Well, we don't know. We'll have to ask him again to clarify.
I doubt you'll ever get that chance or you ever will. All right.
A chance, or if I do, I'll ask it.
You don't think he'll talk again? Seriously?
Not about that. I don't think so.
And Eric won't ask it.
Well, I didn't
now,
say
you
that.
Said you're not a high-motor guy. Can we dig
Can
a little
we,
deeper
yeah.
into that?
Can we elaborate on that, please?
Mark says, enough of the high-motor discussion from Nova Scotia.
Go ahead, Paul. Chew that bite.
Eric says, been listening for a few years, love the show, and this is my first time writing. I had to chime in on the Haynesworth quote. I almost always side with Andy, but this time I'm actually going to side with Fred. It's shocking to me to hear from Andy that he thinks a high motor guy can't be a great player, since we all hear all off season
that
he wanted a pass rusher who could take plays off Robert
right.
Quinn and didn't want a workhorse.
He
Kerrigan.
You obviously didn't
he wanted
listen
the
to
elite
the conversation.
Freak athlete, and that is what Haynesworth is.
Right.
We were arguing.
You obviously
listening
didn't listen
great players who were high motor players.
Don't talk with your mouth.
The basis of the whole argument was rattling off what we thought were great players that didn't do that.
Right.
Right.
Like Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis. But there are guys who take it off. I think Julius
Vince
Peppers
Wilford.
Takes plays off. I'd take him on my team in a heartbeat. I don't think Julius Peppers would come in saying I take plays off. But like Richard Seymour, like Ty Law, we would say he does. He takes some plays off. He's smart enough. He monitors it a little bit.
Right.
There's all different classes of players. Maybe last year he had such a great year because he wasn't taking plays off because he was a new player in a new city. Maybe we'll see the old Julius Peppers who people questioned, did he take a few plays off?
Right.
And maybe his poor performance will regress
you know
a little bit.
Yeah, Peppers, that's a great point because what was the whole reason why the Patriots shouldn't go
right.
jumping through hoops for this guy?
Right.
He takes plays off.
Yep.
He doesn't do this. He's not a high motor guy.
But when they acquired Randy Moss, guy we know has a history of taking plays
however,
off, people
Paul,
said.
If Julius Peppers was available for a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick, they would have gotten
They could have got him
year.
Without that. They could have got him for less than that.
Not
he was available as a free agent.
Not for the money that they paid for Haynesworth.
Oh, I'm not. I think that they could. I think they could have looked into it.
Well, Tim and Clovis says we will see how good
12
Albert.
Million? How many million? 12, 12.5 million for Haynesworth? 2 years right now?
Oh, I don't know. Is it
something
I know
like
it's five,
that?
Five for this year. Right?
Five and a half for this year.
Five and a half.
Five and a half.
Tim and Clovis says,
"Listen,
we will
Chicago
see how-
paid him more, but the reason Patriots fans didn't want him was because he didn't play hard."
Oh. And the
that's
reason
fact,
why the,
not opinion.
But forget about the fans, Paul, who you know are stupid. The reason, the reason why the Patriots
I'm
didn't
putting
get
you
him
in
was
that category
they didn't
based on this conversation.
Notice you didn't say who you say are stupid. You said you know, meaning you agree with Paul that the fans are stupid, right?
No. Tim and Clovis, once again, you know, Dumbo Hart, his logic is
flawed.
Oh, I don't think my logic was flawed there, Eric. Can you chime in a little?
I agree with you, Andy.
Dumbo Thank you. You should have said, if you want to express it that way, who you say, Paul, are stupid.
Right.
Ask this guy. I got no stones.
And you know are stupid.
Right.
Thank you. So you agree with it. No,
no
further questions.
Tim and Clovis.
Are you being dishonest again?
we will see how good Albert is when he straps on the jock strap and plays the game. I, for one, think he and Chad will be great this year and look forward to see them play. I'm with you, Tim. Don't let these guys get you down.
We didn't say
they
weren't
going
to be great.
I see them going 12-4
Don't
this
put words
year
in our mouths now. We didn't say
Jets.
That. We never said they weren't going to be great.
I think you're getting Eric mad. I think Haynesworth will be great, too. I think he's going to have a good year. I really do.
Yes, I think both of them are going to.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that I think he admitted that he dogs it.
One of them might not be motivated on every play, but that's, you know, you might be getting great plays out of the ones where he is.
Can you get back to where fans might be able to keep in touch with Andy on Twitter?
At Dumbo Heart.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
I love how he cracks up.
Even Andy's laughing about that.
It was good.
Let's go to the phones, 508-298-0398. Adam from Connecticut's been holding on. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
I'm just calling to see what you guys actually thought of the switch to the 4-3 defense. I know you guys gave a lot of reasoning behind it, but never really your official opinion on what you thought, if you liked it or you didn't.
I kind of like it. My initial reaction, you have Haynesworth and Wilfork in the middle of that. If you let them shoot the gaps and attack the quarterback, kill the quarterback, as Haynesworth said, you're taking advantage of the strengths of your team right now. You're molding the scheme to fit the players instead of vice versa. And I think that's I think that shows growth on Bill's part, that he's finally acknowledging that he doesn't have the players to fit the system that he's in love with, so he's changing it.
All right.
Can I chime in for a second?
Sure.
I didn't know if you wanted to yell at somebody. You looked angry.
Well, I love how, you know, Eric is approving of the growth of Bill Belichick. That's unbelievable.
He's been stubborn over the years. He's never wanted to switch out of it. He's always tried to find this perfect high linebacker to fit the outside mold, and he realizes he's not going to get it. So now he's finally coming around, and he's getting the guys that fit the strengths of what's around him.
I'm lukewarm on it because I agree with Eric. I think if Haynesworth healthy and out there, your two defensive tackles have a lot of potential. My concern would be the other five positions up front, because now I feel like I don't know about any of them. Because even the guy who I think is very good in Mayo, I don't know about anymore. Because now he's out on the edge, he's rushing the passer, he's covering guys.
Right, assuming he doesn't play middle linebacker.
Right. Basing it on what we've seen, and he's an outside linebacker, Spikes is in the middle, Ninko and the other guys, I don't know what Jermaine Cunningham is at end. I don't know what Eric Moore is at end. I don't know if they're going to run right over those guys. I have concerns about the rest of it around those two big guys in the middle.
Right.
They're all unknown.
See, I think that, you know, I kind of agree with Eric, but I think that if they do switch to a base 4-3, they still need that other guy.
Yeah, they need to get, maybe not Umanyora, but to me they need some more talent in
there. Yeah.
And who says they're not? There's still a month
for
the preseason
left
to go. Yeah.
But that's my reservation right now.
My reservation is, are we putting too much stock in one guy? In Haynesworth?
Well, that's another issue.
And not only one guy, but a guy who, let's face it, there's question marks on. So that's my concern.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. I think I'd like to see them go to a more attacking style no matter what the personnel is on the field. I like that. I think nowadays in the NFL, you can't sit there and just say, I'm going to force the other team to make 10 or 12 plays in order to score because they'll make a mistake. I think the passing games are too sophisticated now, and they're too well-oiled, and it's hard to sit there and say, I'm going to play bend but don't break. If you can't get after the passer and disrupt a play, you're going to have a hard time making stops
against good teams.
Against good teams.
That's how you end up with very good regular season records and maybe struggle a little bit in the postseason when the teams are better.
And you have a very good regular season record because you have an offense that's better than the other team's offense.
Right.
So you're going to win that battle and you're going to outscore that team.
But I also think in the playoffs, you've had an offense that was maybe better than the other team's defense, but you start getting into more of matchups. You just can't win. You just don't roll out on the field and win like you can against a lot of regular season opponents that have subpar teams, subpar offenses, subpar quarterbacks.
All right. We got a lot to talk about. I mean, thanks for the call, Adam.
Fred
Sperry. Well, my main support for it was actually more of a personnel standpoint. I mean, I know Bill, like on the field, 3-4 is probably better because of versatility. But given the lack of available people out there, I mean, there's a lot more people available in a 4-3 instead of a 3-4.
That's true. That's always been the case.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, the linebacker position.
Well, I'm not even sure. I think you get
into the 3-4 that are drafting guys that are from a limited pool anyway. I mean, say, first rounders for this year, for example, for an outside linebacker, you had Quinn Smith and Kerrigan pretty much. But yet, for a 4-3 end, you had Quinn Smith and Kerrigan, but you also had options at Watt, Jordan, you know, Bowers and Claiborne. So that increases the pool, and it's a small pool anyway, and all these teams are going after these guys now. Bill's picking usually later in the draft, so he's losing out on all these people. I mean, all the good 3-4 outside linebackers, except for Clay Matthews, but there's reasons for that,
right,
are usually high picks in the draft. You look at, you know, we got DeMarcus Ware. He was picked real high. Even for the Pats, you had Willie McGinnis. He was picked high. And those are the guys you need to really succeed on the outside. But if you got a 4-3, there's a lot more options at end.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if you're a team running a scheme and a certain scheme, there's a limited pool. You're not liking all ends, whether they're 4-3. You're not liking all linebackers. You have 3 or 4 of those prospects. And I think, you know, for every outside linebacker, oh, DeMarcus Ware, you got to get him high. Well, you had to get Dwight Freeney high. You had to get Julius Peppers high. The teams that run 4-3 and have great pass rushing ends got them at the top of the draft. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers run a 3-4, and to me have not struggled to find front seven personnel for their 3-4 one iota.
And they've
at all. They do it differently, and it's a different kind of guy.
Recycle those linebackers constantly over the years, and by the way, they're picking where the Patriots pick.
And by the way, if you go to the 4-3, half the teams in the NFL right now, it's about 50-50 split. I don't know the exact breakdown. You're competing with half the league, whether it's 4-3 or 3-4, whatever you're doing, it's half the league when you're looking at the personnel.
And I also would say, Nathan, you're right about, you know, there are a lot of those players, and generally you have to get them at the high end. I think that you lump all of those ends as one. For example, Andy, you brought up Dwight Freeney. I don't think a guy like Adrian Claiborne makes a lot of sense as a defensive end in the Colts scheme, that Tampa 2 scheme.
Or J.J. Watt.
Now,
or
I know,
Adrian, yeah.
I know that a Tampa 2 scheme drafted him.
Right.
But I don't think that Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis are the same as Adrian Claiborne.
Right.
I don't think it's the same skill set. I don't think it's the same
player. But
that's
my point. It's a Tampa 2 scheme.
Exactly.
But you're still only looking at your guys that do exactly
what
you want.
Same system, but you think differently, Tampa Bay and Indianapolis, just like Pittsburgh and New England.
And
San Diego in the old days.
Yeah, there's groups of 3 or 4 teams that do things very similar, and they're fighting for those same 3 or 4 players.
Well, it's been an hour of good emails, good talk, good phone calls. Let's take a quick break. We'll get back to more of that in a sec.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Think you know more about the Patriots than Andy Hart?
I was so wrong.
Prove it! Inside the Patriots Pregame Social. The Pregame Social is the only interactive radio pregame show that lets you be a part of the show.
People won't like this show.
So, what are you waiting for? Join the Patriots Pregame Social every game day, live on the Patriots Facebook page.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Joey writes in from Oklahoma State. He says, hey guys, the horse is dead. The IQ of everyone on the internet is now lower because of the high motor discussion. And P.S. Fred, just admit you're a homer. Denial is not funny. I admit I'm a homer. What's wrong with that? But I'm the
I think we all do.
I'm just the most objective homer ever.
Oh, jeez.
That's not funny, he said.
Well, these freaking windows are popping up all over the place.
Oh, somebody's been having porn on that computer.
Aaron writes in from Sterling, Virginia. Thank God for Freddie, he says. Andy, Paul, and Eric are knuckleheads. So Albert says he's not a high motor guy, and that's him saying that white guys who hustle have no talent? Seriously? Could the triplets of psychological football writers in progress read into this more for us, please? A guy admits that he isn't going to be flying all over the field. We think he's crapping on other players and getting upset with the questions. Can we wait until this guy starts effing up before we jump all over him? We know he will eventually, so can't we just wait and not try to use PFW voodoo psychology to tell everyone what he's really thinking? Besides, Fred is right about Albert, and he's wearing the flying Elvis, so he must have meant well. When will you three ever learn? That's right.
I just want to add one thing on that. Does anybody expect him to wait till the media attacks him for not playing hard? Because he clearly was very confrontational against the media for causing all of this in Washington and ruining his name, right? It was what they wrote didn't necessarily. I didn't listen to what they wrote, and all this. So clearly, he's not giving the media a free pass. It's our fault that, he got a $100 million contract and was out of the off the team 2 years later.
Plus, I didn't think we attacked him. I thought we actually said he said all the right things, save for one comment that was a bit eyebrow-raising.
I started off by saying he was extremely impressive, and I stand by that. I thought he was impressive. That was the one comment that he made that I think if he had to do it over again, he probably would have changed his words on.
Rich in Rhode Island sends in the annual Patriots aren't doing enough in free agency email. What's the team doing? I grade the trades as a C, with Ocho should be average and Albert is a project. Now the free agent signings, or should I say lack of it, is an F minus. I now have the team at 8-8 after not getting better on free agency, and that doesn't cut it. Roth Brock should already be signed. Also, Solder. Bill, the lockout is over.
He gives them an F minus and has them at 8-8.
Wow.
Bodog updated their predictions, and they went
Super
from
Bowl
7
contender.
To 1 to 13 to 2
I'm
to
the,
win the Super
but
Bowl.
But I'm the one who's wrong when I say they're stupid.
Right.
Just for the,
well,
for
Richmond, Rhode Island certainly doesn't have a clue. I mean, you know, they had to re-sign Matt Light. They did a lot of other moves. You know, Mankins, I know it's not really a move, but him in practice is big, having him sign his tender.
Are we still holding out hope that he'll sign a long-term deal?
I am.
No, I'm not holding out hope. I think he, no, I mean, I am holding out hope.
He doesn't even know what
he thinks. I'm not giving up hope.
I am.
Okay. Yeah, I still hope and expect they will. We'll see.
Paul doesn't think so.
No, his actions in this training camp of coming in, signing that tender and doing all that stuff, and I also think in a warped way, going out and trading for a guy like Albert Haynesworth, to me, makes it a better chance that Logan Mankin signs an extension.
How does that
work? I think
it
sends a rotten, rotten message to your locker room. If you have a guy who's done everything that you've asked him to do, and this guy who basically has crapped all over the NFL for 8 years, and not made the most out of his abundant talent, you trade for him, but you can't give this other guy, this ultimate professional, you can't give him an extension. I think he's going to sign now. Eric and Andy have swayed me on that.
Okay. Brian in Baltimore says, I just wanted to chime in on the high motor discussion. To me, the definition of a high motor guy is a player who has the ability to give the same max effort and intensity in their first play all the way through to their last play of the game. Haynesworth has shown he can go hard and has the ability to disrupt a play at any point, but I'm sure Belichick doesn't see him as a three-down player because he does not have the motor, or in other words, the stamina, to stay at that high level every play. Whether that is due to his internal limitations, like Andy said, or just his physical stamina, only he knows, but that doesn't mean that can't change. Haynesworth has had different motivations in his career. In Tennessee, he was most likely motivated by the prospect of the big contract, and then he finally got it, and he ended up not being happy because he didn't have the respect, i.e. his tenure in Washington and playing under Shanahan. In New England, he will now be motivated by a need for respect and purpose, which is why I love this move. Haynesworth was a greedy guy to take that money and not give the effort in Washington, but good for us, because I'm sure with all the talk about his tenure there, he feels slighted. And for guys like him, if he feels his pride has been crossed, it can often create an even more intense reaction, which is great for the Pats and should be scary for the rest of the league. F the Jets. Oh, by the way, we play the Skins in Week 14. I can't wait to see Haynesworth in that game.
All right. Maybe this phrase is subjective in its definition, but to me, high motor is not about ability. It's about determination. Everybody on this earth can give their best at any time if they so choose.
And their best is not always
same. And their best isn't always their best. That's very Andy-like.
Right.
But I mean, you could be spent. Your energy could be, you know, you could have just run 10 miles and you're not going to be as fresh as you were at the beginning of those 10 miles.
Right.
But you're still trying the best you can at that point. Not everybody wants to give it their best, even when they know they can do better.
But you're being very esoteric, Eric. I mean,
I'm trying to define it.
The surface, though, Kyle Love gives his best, but he's not a high motor player, and he never will be.
I haven't seen enough of Kyle Love, but I think he is.
And I think that's all Haynesworth is saying.
I don't agree with that.
There's some guys that just, you know, that perception. That's all he's talking about.
No, but Vince Wilfork is not he can't play every down. He can't play all three downs all game. And he gets tired, and they take him out of the game.
Right.
But when he's out there, he's a high-motor player.
And again, I think you believe he's a high-motor player in your definition. I don't think Haynesworth considers
Wilfork.
What are you basing that on?
Why don't you think Haynesworth thinks that?
Because I just think that...
Kyle Van Den Bosch is an excellent player.
Because I don't think...
Well, he was anyway. Maybe he's not anymore, but he was.
But I don't think that Haynesworth, again, I don't think he's saying that high-motor guys don't have ability. It's just that hustle, that Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle type thing. You know, that's what he's saying. I'm not that guy. That's all he's saying.
I just don't see the separation between good and motor.
But there isn't any
Patrick
separation.
Patrick Chung's a high-motor player. He looks like he could be off to a pretty good career.
I don't think Haynesworth, you're putting words in Haynesworth's mouth. I don't think he's putting
And you're putting thoughts in his head.
All right.
You're trying to tell us what he's thinking.
I don't think he's saying that there's a difference between good and hustle either. I don't think he's – I think – you can be either an or both. I'm just saying the Charlie Hustle guy, he's not. That's all he was saying.
Yeah,
But to me, if you're really good understand. And you don't hustle, you could be better.
Exactly.
No doubt. No doubt. And that's something that, you know,
I think he thinks he's good and he doesn't have to
that's
hustle.
That's one of those things.
Whereas
when,
if he's good and hustle, he'd be great.
That's what I feel.
When Albert Haynesworth retires, he will always have the thing. No matter what he does here, wow, he could have been better.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
I think the ultimate.
There's no doubt.
He's had it from college and all his stops in the league.
Even Randy Moss.
Let's bring it full circle is what I was just going to say.
Wow, he could have been better.
He's the epitome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the absolute most gifted wide receiver who's ever played.
Right.
Does anybody think he's better than Jerry Rice? No, because one guy was a high motor player,
exactly.
Rice, and the other guy wasn't.
Right.
And
yeah.
That gets back to our whole thing that the greatest players are the ones like Brady who have great skill and the whatever burning inside them that they don't think they're great. They always have that anorexic view of themselves that they're not as good as everyone else says they are. Tom Brady's a high motor player. He's the slowest, least athletic person on the planet, but he's a high motor player, right?
No.
Oh, my God.
Not in my definition.
He's a high motor player.
No one really understands what your definition is.
My definition of high motor player is not, it can't be Tom Brady because it's one of those guys that just runs around. He can be great in running around, but if you don't run around, you can't, in my mind, you're not one of those high
motor. Tom Brady runs around, it just takes a while.
You know what I mean.
What does just running around mean?
He's
chicken with head cut off?
Because Kyle Vandenbosch doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who just runs around.
You mentioned Clay Matthews earlier.
He doesn't strike me as the guy just aimlessly runs
around. I didn't say aimlessly. You just threw that word in.
What is just running around
from
mean?
From whistle to whistle,
what do you mean
he
by
never
that?
Stops. You know? Ray Lewis is a high motor player.
Oh, my God. I'm getting tired of this.
Me too.
Yeah. Well,
and so are fans, except for the fact that they all chime in with emails telling us what their definition of high motor is.
High motor, in my mind, has nothing to do with ability.
This has been a high motor discussion.
Well, it doesn't, because there's high motor players of all levels of ability.
Exactly. It's the Charlie Hustle thing.
Well, you say it with a tone that makes it sound
bad. Let's move on.
Well, you can take it that way.
Charlie Hustle in a regular game is great. It becomes gym hero when you do it in an all-star game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hank Aaron is as great as Pete Rose, but he wasn't Charlie Hustle, Hank Aaron. You know?
I don't know. Did Hank Aaron not hustle, Paul?
He
made it look better.
Different kind of player.
Different kind of player.
I mean, Manny Ramirez wouldn't be a high-motor baseball player, right?
I don't think so.
But he's one of the greatest hitters that ever played the game.
Exactly.
But I think Manny Ramirez would say, I'm not like Dustin Pedroia, one of those high-motor guys. I think Manny Ramirez would say that.
Well, you're saying you would say it sarcastically.
Well, I think this guy said it sarcastically.
I don't. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know how he said it. That's all.
Well, I watched it. I listened.
I actually went to practice. Oh, my God.
I didn't?
Oh, my God.
I was the one that was conducting that. I was in on an interview.
Paul conducted the interview.
I did.
I'm glad he rephrased that for a minute because he turned into one of those NFL Network guys who said, I spoke with Albert Haynesworth. No, 47 of us spoke with Albert Haynesworth.
I meant Albert told me.
I know. He's not a high
motor
guy.
He's in the house today, Peter King.
Yeah, I heard he was sitting by himself up in the press box.
Officially, Friday's practice, by the way, 1:30.
Okay.
1:30 tomorrow, open to the public.
That's good news. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Greg from the billing department says, hope all is well, but it can't be too bad because football is back. So now that the new league year has started, who is still out there that we haven't re-signed besides Solder? Is either Matt Roth or other D linemen a real possibility? Is OC a real possibility? Thank you guys very much for getting us over the hump known as the NFL lockout. Your show's truly kept me off the ledge. When are you going to 3 shows a week? And are other shows coming back? Is Rook and Shepard going to have their own shows? And in my mind, high motor, that Benjamin Watson play is one of my favorite hustle plays because of how much effort and energy went into it. Ben busted his ass to catch Bailey by running about 160 yards down the field while Bailey ran a straight line, no doubt.
Benny Watson was a high motor guy. If he could catch like Rob Gronkowski, he would have been a incredible tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? See, again, you're going to laugh at me, but when I think of high motor guys, I don't put Ben Watson in there. You know? I just don't. That was a high motor play, no doubt about it, but he's not a high motor player.
You know? I don't know what that is.
Like I said, it just keeps changing every time we talk about it. So
it's kind of comeback player.
I'm with the fans now. I guess I'm stupid. I'm with the fans
now. Okay. as far as shows, this is as good a time as any.
Yes, unveil it. Bring them the lineup.
John Rook will be back. Tuesday through Thursday.
Stepping
two to
inside
four.
The playbook?
And Pete Shepard will be increasing his role here. Last year he just
sucky.
He just did a Tuesday show from 4 to 6. He'll now be doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 to 6 here on Patriots.com radio, being joined by B-Lo on Friday, on Thursdays.
That's going to be entertaining
just Florida,
to see
Dale Earnhardt died.
Who stops talking first.
Right. The first half of the Thursday Pete Shepard show from 4 to 5 will include the B-Low Fantasy Lowdown.
Wow. Hot dogs and sausages.
Lower the volume ahead of time on your headset or your speakers.
Well, that'll
on your
be
computer.
An interesting, like, you know, interesting mix of
one of them
talent.
Already has their feathers roughed up
oh, really?
A little bit. B-Low not happy that he is now part of the Pete Shepard show and loses his name in
Well, if he wants to stay till 6, he can have a fantasy show and do it from 6 to 7. I'm happy to do that.
Just saying, he's not happy his name is no longer in big lights.
Oh, we will have his name on Thursday.
The marquee.
On Patriots.com, his name will be in big
as
lights.
As part of the Pete Shepard
but
show.
But as big as Pete.
What?
As big as Pete?
The font size will be as big as Pete.
Oh, I thought you meant actually Pete, because we'd all need massive computer screens.
No.
I mean, I could say.
Did Brian tell you he was upset? Because he talked to me. He didn't seem upset.
Brian's getting upset.
What a punani. He was really mad. He was talking to us at lunch about it. Up in the press box.
You should dig into it.
He wasn't happy.
Fred.
Okay.
See, that's what the show's getting.
It'll be John Halam on the mound against El Duque.
But that's a full lineup. And then, of course, we've got the pregame socials, which will be happening.
Many of them or just one?
Many.
Right. Before every game, 2 hours leading up to the game. And we are adding a postgame show to our lineup with ESPNBoston.com's Adam Jones hosting.
Pac-Man
on Patriots.com. So after you leave the Curse Words blog, I know there's a lot of still venting that needs to be done. Head on over and listen to Adam Jones. Will be taking your phone calls and emails right after the game.
And just to clarify, because people like our webmaster were confused, it's not the Adam Jones who played cornerback for Tennessee and Dallas.
It's a different one.
Oh, it isn't?
No. He thought we actually had that player on the ESPN Boston.
Oh, then I have to go back there because I thought that's who I was.
Oh, you thought so too?
With,
oh, okay.
I thought it was going to rain.
Adam Jones is on ESPN Boston. He hosts their show that goes right up against us, actually, from 12 to 2 on ESPNBoston.com.
Nobody would know that, though.
Doing quite well.
Go check it out, because you'll come back.
Yeah, so Adam Jones, though, on game day, will be hosting our post-game show every game, home and away.
Not a lot of venting, by the way. They were 14-2. I mean, celebrating and enjoying the victory.
You weren't
as well.
There for that Cleveland game.
You're so negative. You pick out the worst possible game.
Remember when we were on a 3-game losing streak?
Yeah.
By the way, the pregame social will make its debut 1 week from tonight.
Right.
Woohoo!
As will the postgame show.
We have a game a week from today.
Oh, the postgame show will take place in the preseason as well.
Yes. Pre and post.
So definitely tune in for Andy and I next week.
Yeah, we'll have more about that on Tuesday.
Right? 5:15 Eastern. Yeah. Next
so Thursday week. There will not be a regularly scheduled 12 to 2 PFW Progress. We'll have the pregame social starting, like Paul said, at 5:15
on Facebook and all your mobile devices.
Yeah.
And if you want to jump on board, you can continue the conversation about high motor players.
Well, apparently people do. I mean, Todd says that Fred is a high motor debater.
No, he's a master debater. Should be a cunning linguist.
I'm back in third grade.
And Scott from Raleigh.
Give me a minute and I'll finger it. Scott, part of it I could say on the air.
Scott from Raleigh says, guys, I can't believe you sometimes. Fred is completely correct. There are many types of players, strength guys, power guys, speed guys, smart guys, and yes, high motor guys. And before you think it, no strength and power is not the same thing. Strength guys, for example, can grab a 6'5", 220-pound quarterback with one hand and yank him to the ground violently while engaging in tackle. A power guy has the ability to move, control the line of scrimmage, and blow up plays. Furthermore, it is size relative. There are plenty of strong cornerbacks, but none of them would be considered powerful. They simply lack the bulk and mass. High motor guys are active guys. Many times they may lack in these other categories, but the mere fact that they are just so active can be taxing for an opposing player. By staying active, they usually wear others down and achieve their goal just by sheer will and never stopping. It is endurance and will, and you simply cannot assign that to every or any player. Haynesworth was correct. That is not his MO, and I don't want it to be because he might have a heart attack. Lastly, I think the whole taking place.
I want him to continue to underachieve the rest of his career.
Just because you're strong or fast or any of those other categories, you can be high motor within them.
Yeah. I don't think that for him.
There's a limit on those. There's never a limit on effort.
I don't think
unless
that,
you limit it.
I don't think that for Haynesworth to achieve success, he has to become a high motor guy. Lastly, I think
to be the best he could
maybe
be.
Maybe he wouldn't be a miserable career underachiever.
I think the whole taking plays off thing is overrated. I am so sick of that argument. For anyone,
I agree with that.
Anyone who has ever played football competitively, like myself, then you know that there are all
very
kinds
proud
of
you.
There are all kinds of reasons that you don't go full out on every play.
No, see, that part I agree with. I think that one of the more overrated elements of professional sports is this 100% effort 100% of the time.
Sometimes you want to set someone up or maybe fake an injury or catch your breath. I play cornerback, so trust me, it is necessary. When you can do it depends on many things like down and distance, who you're facing, the score, etc. You must absolutely pace yourself, and this is the case in most sports. If you don't, you'll spend too much time on the sideline. The only thing is, you just don't want to hurt your team in the process. This gets done all the time, and it is not a problem. If it was, there would be a whole lot of guys missing from the NFL. P.S. Not being a high motor guy doesn't mean you don't hustle.
If you weren't doing that, you may be in the NFL. I don't think great players dog it.
No.
Certainly not at the low level of football that this guy played. I mean, if you had tried harder, you might have been a better player.
You don't think he made it to the NESCAC?
No, that's low-level football.
I'm kidding.
I don't.
Relax.
I find this ridiculous
high motor mouth going
on
over here
that everybody just dogs it all the time.
Well, the part is it's completely obvious. The guy was traded to the New England Patriots, so it doesn't matter what he has done. Doesn't matter what he says. It's very simple.
Very good point by Paul.
That's part of being a fan. I understand it. I'm fine with it. Just don't pretend that it's not so. Don't pretend that it's a. Well, it's fine. It's everything, you know. No one expects you to play hard. No, don't pretend it's anything but it isn't, what it's not. You made an acquisition of a guy who doesn't play hard, and to this point in his career, as talented as Albert Haynesworth is, his career has been a massive disappointment.
No doubt.
And I can't help but think he would be better if he did consider himself a high motor player.
Can I just ask a question? At what point do you...
I just think it'd be better if he just tried all the time.
Exactly.
But that still, in my mind, wouldn't make him a high motor player. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, I just want to know, when do you cross the line? Because everybody, when they have, like, my son is going to play soccer, and you say, I don't care what you do, just give it your best, try your hardest.
Sure.
When do you cross the line where it's okay to start dogging it and everybody does it like the email?
When it hurts your team.
Well... What? He's had 8 years of hurting his team.
Absolutely.
Well, probably minus one.
Yeah.
The year before he got the $100 million contract.
We expect 4-year-olds to try their hardest and 5-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds. When do you start dogging it and taking plays off like the last emailer said?
Well,
does that become a real part of the game that everyone
but first
does?
First of all, do you agree with the email?
No, I don't.
No.
Okay. I never knowingly in
I
my head said,
overrated.
I'm taking this play off. Never once in my life. Ever.
You never paced yourself.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
You're a high motor guy.
Maybe I was.
Oh, of course he was.
But,
look at him.
Yeah. Except,
come on. He's a 5'9 fullback.
But
by definition, his pitcher's in the paper.
But I also.
Scrappy, overachieving, high motor player.
It just shows that an Albert Haynesworth type player like me can be a high motor guy like Andy in basketball.
You're an idiot.
I don't even understand what that meant.
Do you honestly believe that any of these guys that are great dogged it in high school? They could screw around, which is different from dogging it. You know, I think Randy Moss probably tried to set people up and get guys to throw picks and stuff and all that, but that's not dogging it.
If you're gonna try to back me into a corner and say that I don't think Albert Haynesworth ever dogged it, of course he has. I agree 100% with Paul that his career has been a disappointment.
Right.
He's screwing away talent.
By all accounts.
Absolutely. But
forget about
what
we think.
This whole thing started with just that one comment. That's all we were
talking
about.
No, but forget about what we think about Albert Haynesworth and his ability. Listen to what some of the people around the league are saying.
Absolutely.
After this trade was made.
What are they doing?
This is one of the most, no, the opposite. This is one of the most immensely talented guys.
Right.
Belichick has had such success with these kinds of players. Mm-hmm. This is a home run. You know, this is what people think of the talent that Haynesworth has. Look at his numbers.
Absolutely.
They don't lie.
Right.
He's been average, with the exception of the year, I think it was 2008, when he earned that $100 million contract. And he did put the pedal to the metal for 1 year. You know, he's played 16 games once in his career.
No. He's not a high motor guy.
Exactly. But how much better could he be he did?
But again, I don't look. That's not about
the
high
Patriots
motor.
Might get to find out.
That's about ethic and dedication and making football important.
Pride.
To you. Pride. Absolutely. Pride.
But isn't when he says he wants to restore his name, isn't that pride? Your name?
Absolutely.
See, I don't, even though I don't look at Richard Seymour as a high motor guy, I don't look at his career as a waste.
No.
I don't think he could have been, you know, exponentially better if he played a different way.
So you're separating the high motor. This has nothing to do with high motor with Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, no, that's part. No, I'm not separating it at all.
High motor has not kept Albert Haynesworth from achieving his best. It's his desire. It's his stubbornness. It's his pride. It's all those other things.
I think effort is a big part of it.
Well, effort, yes, absolutely. But again, I'm. Let's leave high motor out of that. Chris with a TIAN says,
to me, enjoyed, that's anonymous, but that's okay.
I enjoyed everything in Patriots Place, the hall. These are observations from training camp.
Who's this?
Chris with a TIAN.
Be studying the dictionary, my friend.
I enjoyed everything Patriot Place, the hall, and Gillette had to offer the other day when I came down for practice. Although Tuesday's practice was a bit sluggish, I encourage any Pats fan to attend. You won't be disappointed. It was great seeing the guys as well. Freddie, I missed you again in meetings, huh? I guess I was. I don't know. I'll catch you next time. Anyway, here are one man's media observations. One, Andy is still a turd. I mean, the guy didn't even say hi.
I did say hi.
He just started talking smack about beating me in words with friends.
That's what he does, Chris.
That may be accurate.
That's what he does.
That's me saying hi, though.
Yeah. Well, you have problems.
Yes.
Paul and Eric are still cool.
You're damn right.
Obviously, anyone whose name ends in a vowel is. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, you got that right.
Bilo looks like a total nerd on Patriots.com and didn't disappoint in person. Lindsay is hotter in person, and Reese is an absolute shrimp in person.
He is a wee little guy.
Christian, just
we love Mike, but he is
punches
he's,
left
he's
and
small.
Right.
Let's see.
By the way,
yes,
I think we need an intervention, Fred.
With?
Because somebody on this staff, whose name may sound like Randy Tart, has an addiction. It's a serious one. I think we actually need to enroll him in a program.
This Friends and Games thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The online Scrabble.
Friends and Games.
You have how many games going on now?
I don't know.
We've been inundated
22.
The last couple of days because now the PFW
listeners
and Progress people now
it.
Have our handles or whatever you
right.
call them. And so we're getting inundated with game requests from people all over the world.
I'm a man of the people. If I get a request, I accept it.
Yeah, and if you see the person in person, you walk away from them.
Right. It's called social networking.
But he's not paying any attention to his wife and his kids anymore. He's not even he's not even watching television.
I have really pretty much cut out TV. When I'm done with what used to be like an hour to just lay on the couch and watch TV is now an hour to lay on the couch and play Words with Friends.
All right.
Ian Rappaport is reporting that Nate Solder is close and could practice today.
Oh, okay.
That'd be a rare
is that from a
meaningful
source? Just a thought? Intuition?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Is he being Ian accurate? What? Let's see. Guys, let's talk about the cure for our pass rush, Rose. How does Black Jesus Markell Carter look so far? What does that mean?
I think he's being sarcastic.
Hasn't done much. He's playing defensive end with Moore and Cunningham.
I haven't
seen
him make any standout plays at all in first week of camp.
It's hard because
I haven't
not
seen
a lot
those
of
two really make any standout plays either.
No, but I mean, you know, you could knock down a pass. You could, get into the quarterback's face and force him to blow the whistle. You know, I mean, stuff like that that we take note of, and we haven't seen anything from him.
508-298-0398 is the A-Stickin' Hotline. Let's go to Darius in Virginia. Hey, Darius.
Hey, what's going on, Fred? What's going on, fellas?
Darius.
Hey, first time caller. I've been listening to you guys for a while. And actually, you know, it's funny that you finally changed the subject, but my whole purpose of calling was I was going to tell you guys enough with the high motor.
Okay. All right.
We finally got football season started. I'm like looking forward to hear you guys talk about football and stuff. And y'all spent about 30 minutes talking about high motor. Who gives a crap? I just want to hear about football, how it's progressing, what's going on. And you're just wasting all this time talking about high motor.
That's what we do on this
show. Get us back on track.
Why are you bringing it up then?
This is Darius Butler.
You're an enabler.
All right. Keep up the show, guys. Great show.
Is that it?
All right, man.
Okay, yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Thanks, Darius.
Thanks, Darius.
Getting
keep listening.
Getting us back on track here. Let's see.
Getting us back on track.
Call back, Darius. We need more help.
Josh wants material. To know, will the pre- and post-game show be available on the BlackBerry app? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, see what you did there.
Absolutely. That's
except
good.
It never worked on mine back when I had one. It, iPhones, phenomenal, though.
Yep.
Paulie in L.A. says, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome back Eric Negativino.
What was I negative about?
Just life, about life, yeah, in general. Everything.
Windows closed.
Life, liberty, and your pursuit of happiness.
Josh from Waterloo.
You made myself laugh hysterically on that
well,
one.
That
was
true.
Josh from Waterloo writes in, says, hey, football reporters and Eric.
Oh, screw you, bitch.
Just wanted to give an example of how screw cool my wife is. During our nightly discussion of football, I was telling her about Rex Ryan's pathetic pleas to have other teams try to beat the Patriots. Then I mentioned he got a lame tattoo. Her immediate response was, did he get a picture of a foot so he can look at it when he can't see his wife's?
Or his own.
Brilliant. F the New Jersey Jets. It's no secret that I am figuratively and literally, if he wanted, a washer of Bill's balls. But let's say that's what he said. Look, it's only if Bill wants it.
Right. Now, would you scrub or would you, what are those, a loofah? Would you lose a loofah?
You have to be delicate. But let's say we do switch to a more switch to a more primarily 4-3, and let's say we go on to win the Super Bowl. Wouldn't that just raise the level of greatness of Bill's legacy?
The Super
just
Bowl,
winning a yes. Super Bowl,
the Super
yeah.
Bowl,
yeah.
Winning another Super yeah. Bowl certainly would. Yes.
Sure.
They already won one with a four-man front, didn't they play the
Where's my safari information, Josh?
Well, here's a question.
He wrote to me asking to give me all this safari information because he went on one, apparently, and he said he was going to give me some more, and I never heard back from him. Well, come on.
And why is he having nightly conversations
about
football?
Well, this is a question I was going to ask earlier before we got into the high motor thing, going back to the 3-4-4-3. Bill, you know, he doesn't give you a lot of info. But he will admit that up to this point, their base defense is a 3-4. That's what they play. He said that. Do you think that if they do, in fact, go to a 4-3 and it's evident from on the field what we see, he will say, now we're a 4-3, or will he never, ever tell you that?
He'll never tell
you. I don't think he'll ever acknowledge it.
You don't think so?
No. Mm-mm.
Yet he has acknowledged that we're a 3-4.
Multiple.
We're multiple.
Do whatever's in the best interest of the football team on a game.
Generally, what I hear him say whenever
game plan.
Whenever that stuff comes up.
So your game plan for the first 16 weeks was to go 4-3?
Tiffin, Wisconsin. Maybe I haven't been paying attention, but I have not heard anything about Logan Mankin's contract situation. Where do we stand on that? Also, yesterday, Adam Schefter stated that he didn't know if the Pats had the coin to sign OC from New York or anyone else. What's going on with the Patriots' wallet? Should I stop donating to the Democrats and start donating to my Patriots?
Yes.
I would do anything, shut up, Andy,
not
to
for
help
that reason.
Get us to the Super Bowl again.
Did she say shut up, Andy, or did you?
No,
she did.
No, she didn't. Read it.
I'm looking at it.
I'm lying again. Okay.
You're being untruthful.
Right. I'm being untruthful.
Fred, I think you're a virtuous
patriot.
I think you're a virtuous guy, Fred.
Right.
I think you honestly believe the crap that you speak.
Paul, it's not April.
No,
it's past review time.
I'm going to come out and say that I think if they wanted to, they would have the room to sign OC.
$9.2 million, according to Pro Football Talk, right now they are.
And they can make the room.
Right. And
you can make the room.
You can structure that to fit under.
Can we all agree that the cap is not an impediment for these kinds of things?
Not this year.
Not any year.
Or ever. I'm still waiting for
since 05.
Well, I mean, right now.
Yeah, 05.
I mean, right now, those teams that Eric mentioned earlier would have to make some adjustments if they wanted to sign somebody.
But it's bookkeeping.
Right. Yeah.
Is my point.
Minor adjustments. Logan Mankins is signed, sealed, delivered. I'm expecting
year,
him to be on the practice field at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Under the tender.
I think she's probably talking about a
long-term. I think that'll happen during the season at some point.
I wouldn't worry about it, though.
I wouldn't
worry
about
it. You got him for this year, so go.
Well, isn't there a rule that
September 20th. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
But he's going to play this year. So
no, I know
what
that.
Do you care?
But I'm talking about, I think Tiffany was sort of looking ahead.
Shut up, Paul, she said.
Well, no, she
no,
didn't.
She said shut up,
she
Andy.
She said shut up, Andy.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Nelson from New Hampshire is on the phone. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's going on there?
Oh, you know, just eating lunch, kind of
Buffalo
tenders,
doing the breeze.
Doing a radio show.
Nice.
Are you a high motor guy, Nelson?
Apparently not.
No chance.
No, you're talking about a low motor guy with me. I'm definitely a low key.
Are you high? Are you high right now?
I was going to say, is that a drug induced low motor?
Is it 420?
Yeah, that's later on. Not yet. But
nice.
That's later.
What's that other one you guys saw? The
okay.
Chronic?
The 420.
So what do you got?
Chronic?
What do you got for us?
Well, first and foremost, I got to say, as a fellow Portuguese, I got to give props to Anthony down in Naples, man. That guy, he brings it every time he calls, I got to say.
He does. He's never right, but he does bring it.
Right. There, you know, he's a high motor caller with little skill.
he's got the intensity.
Line two.
I think he should definitely put that to good use. He's definitely good radio. I know when I was listening to Tuesday's show, he kept me laughing the most, probably.
Yeah, we're going to need callers like that on the pregame social. Pregame, bring the passion, the energy.
Yeah, I might not call. I'll listen, but...
Okay, well, feel free to send a tweet or a Facebook wall or whatever these kids do these days.
Right. So how many more practices are open to the public? Do you guys know?
Pretty much till mid-August, the practices. Once they have that first preseason game, there might be a couple after that, after August 11th, and then they kind of shut it down. So,
yeah.
And we're only getting the schedule day-to-day, so we barely even know when we have practice.
We don't know if we're coming or going.
Right. So, Fred, you're definitely defending Upper Haynesworth on the high motor thing, huh?
I absolutely am. I think what, you know, it's just his perception of what those guys are. It had nothing to do with I don't think they're good or, you know, I think he would have to admit that in the past he didn't give it all the time. But
right.
Now, you know, now he wants to resurrect his name. That's, you know. I don't think he'll ever, even if he resurrected his name, he wouldn't put himself in the category of a high motor guy.
Who's coming out and saying that that's like a, he's bashing on Kyle Vandenbosch?
He said it.
No, but
Haynesworth.
These guys are the ones saying he's bashing on Kyle Vandenbosch.
I didn't say he bashed him. I think based on my interpretation, he said it in a derogatory
way.
Yeah,
see, I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
He had a smirk on his face.
Paul was there,
when he
though.
Said it.
All right, I don't think he
made that comment to the writer, who
I just
believe
don't
was
think,
Rich Garvin.
All I'm saying is that he doesn't think.
How did he hear the question?
He is that type of guy. That's all.
I don't believe he's that type of guy. Did
Paul,
you just say?
Did you hear it live?
Yeah, no, I was standing 2 inches from him. Yeah,
you thought he had a little tone when
I thought there was that. That was the only question out of the. It was probably about an 8-minute interview, and that was the only question I detected really any tone toward. The questions that he was asked. There was definite tone about the past.
But I think the tone was more to the right. How could you even think I was a high motor guy?
I agree.
I think that's what it was.
I agree. We just have a disagreement as to
what that
means.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently he does too.
You know? Why would you even ask that question?
Because
I'm not a high
motor guy. Because it's so obvious that I'm not.
Right.
That's the way I looked at it.
And I think it is obvious he's not. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. And I think, yes.
We've reached that point an hour and a half later.
You know? Nelson, what do you think?
But I'm with Nelson. I agree.
Well, I don't know. I guess, to tell you honestly, I mean, I'd have to hear it to really,
It's on Patriots.com.
Really,
yeah, the video is on Patriots.com.
Good luck finding
but,
it.
But, I mean, when I think I heard it in a tweet. I think I read it, and I didn't take it as a shot. I just kind of thought, you know, the question was asked, and, you know, he pointed out guys who had to work, but I see your point, though. I mean, the way he might have said it might have been,
Well, I can't
wrongly.
Tell you
course,
how
you know,
he said
when
it
it's
for
a guy
sure.
Like Albert Haynesworth, who has a checkered past, you know, that first thing comes up that, oh, he's taking a shot at someone, you know.
But wait, you just said you took it as he was pointing out guys that have to work. Why doesn't he have to work?
I didn't necessarily mean that they weren't good, but they just worked hard. I mean,
but why doesn't he have to work? That's my question. You said he's pointing out guys that have to work. I'm not one of those.
I don't think he necessarily meant it as he has to work hard. I think he was saying, I don't know, I guess I kind of take it as a, I don't think of any defensive lineman as a high motor guy. I don't know why, but I guess I don't think
I agree with that.
All.
I agree
well,
with
I,
that.
I don't know how you could watch a guy like Casey Hampton or Vince Wilfork play and not think that they're high motor guys that play.
Just, and the guy that Albert Haynesworth said is a defensive lineman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyle the guy Vandenbosch. He brought up is a defensive lineman.
Yeah, I wanted to stick more to interior guys like Haynesworth.
Right.
That
but
are big 300-plus
right.
pound
defensive
guys.
Line,
I think
right.
there are both. Tony Siragusa?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, maybe if I...
Do you remember the,
pass
that Sam Adams picked off against the Patriots in that opener in 03 for Buffalo, and he was like rumbling down the sideline?
Yeah.
Could you ever imagine Albert Haynesworth doing that?
I would love to see it.
He'd stop in the middle and say, I got to rest. I'm tired.
Right.
All right. Okay. So now we're
but
getting.
Fred, all I'm saying is this person who's defending him said he was just pointing out players that have to work, and that's my point.
Yeah.
Everybody has to
no,
work.
No, and I don't agree with Nelson there. I don't think that's what Haynesworth was saying. Yeah, I don't agree. I don't think that's what he was saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Nelson.
Would you guys consider Brewski a high motor guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. He's
yeah.
the epitome.
He's yeah. borderline right. Jim Hero. Right.
Absolutely.
He's the epitome.
So do you think high motor would then. In
this Bruce thing is a whopping six.
I thought we weren't going to talk about this anymore. I'm sorry. What was that, Nelson? I was talking over you. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
When someone's talking, you're supposed to shut up.
Brewski had to work harder in order to cover up the fact that he didn't have as much talent?
I think in his case, yes.
Yeah. He was not as physically gifted.
That's not necessarily the case for all of those types of players, but in his case, I think it was.
I would agree with that, yes.
Right. Well, okay.
All right. Thanks, Nelson.
Thanks.
You know, despite people getting tired of it, it's an interesting conversation.
It's the typical topic that it's 50-50. There's people that hate that we're still talking about it, and there's people that want to weigh in on it.
Right. People, you know, and that's what this is all
and
about.
And there are people that want us to shut up and weigh in.
Right.
About it.
Oh, yeah. They want to have the last word.
Right. Start with shut up, but this is what I
shut up. Oh, God, it's funny. Bud writes in, hey, guys, love the show. A question and a statement for you. Which running back will lead the team in carries this year? And which running back should lead the team in carries
this year? Stephen Ridley. Should.
Benny will.
Who will?
Benny. Yeah.
Okay.
Stephen Ridley will.
Do you agree with that, Paul?
I do.
Okay.
Which one?
Both. Benny will, and I'd like to see Ridley get the opportunity.
Second, I like
how come you don't have to answer?
I kind of agree with that. So when I agree, I just stay silent and let other people take the credit. Second,
he's thinking,
who's Stephen Ridley? Second, I like the apparent move to 4-3, getting Haynesworth and Wilfork on the field. What if they don't move to a all right, I'll say that
yeah,
after.
Yeah, that's a different argument.
Second, I like the apparent move to a 4-3. Getting Haynesworth and Wilfork on the field at the same time will create a powerful D-line, and kicking Mayo over to the weak side will free up Spikes to play more of a Ray Lewis run-stuffing role and also cause him to be exposed in pass coverage less often. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. And Eric, from one Paulie to another, go Pelicans.
Nice.
What is that?
A representation.
Mascot?
I don't know.
Sort of.
Kind
of
gay.
Is that like Rod Cabin Republican?
Well, the Pelican was the symbol of the school. Our sports teams were called the Big Red.
Because Pelicans was too gay. And you needed something else.
Yeah, it's hard to put a Pelican on a football helmet.
The Pelican.
Fly Pelican.
And he was the Pelican's kicker. So that's like as gay as you can get within the gay.
Who was that that wrote in?
I forget.
Who was that? Bud. Bud Henry.
Bud. Okay.
Bud.
Good stuff, Bud.
Pelicans.
Hey, Bud.
Let's go to the phone lines. 508-298-0398
phone
is the
Ace
Ticket Hotline. Sam in Houston. Hey, Sam. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Governor.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, so I see we have a high motor conversation.
Yeah.
Well, we do have four white guys in the room.
I see you all had to work hard to keep this high motor stuff.
Yep, we have no talent, so we have to have high motors.
we have to cover it up by
certainly
looking
true,
like we're
giving
busy.
It our best in every argument.
I don't want to speak for everybody else. It's certainly true in my case.
I'd love to coast like Jim Rome and those national guys.
You know, there's some people that always just have to look like they're busy.
It's okay. I'm going to bring up the show that shall not be named. It's not as bad as that whole Andy deal.
No suckers. Yeah.
Oh.
No, but you guys, I mean, I'm enjoying the show. I'm just wondering, I mean, with all this talk about what Albert Haynesworth is going to do, what is the deal with, to me, who's going to play the end?
That's a great question. Yeah. I think that's something I wanted to bring back to earlier. Someone said they still need more talent on the edge.
Yeah,
but they feel good about the 4-3, but they need more. Well, you know what? I felt pretty good about the 3-4 if they had more talent on the edge. Yeah. We're back to the same problem. You need more talent on the edge, whether you call him a linebacker or an end.
Yeah.
You need that guy, Umanyora. You need that guy, Ali, whoever.
Except it's easier to find the talent on the edge in the 4-3 than it is in Bill's
system.
I'm not
so sold.
I am not sold on that at all.
I've seen guys come through that could have come here and been very successful.
What do you think?
The great defensive ends demand as much money as the great outside linebackers.
Of course they do.
That's what I talked about earlier. Yeah. Julius Peppers, Dwight Freeney, they all go to the top of
the draft.
The
thing that I want to see, the philosophical change I want to see from Bill is to attack more. I don't care what the base defense is. I don't. And Bill always says it's the most overrated thing
that
we complain about every year. And I agree with him 100%. I don't care if there are 2, 3, 8 defensive linemen on the field. I want to see them go upfield and get after the ball carrier,
yeah,
try to make things difficult for the offense.
If Haynesworth can do what we hope he can do, he makes it easier for whoever is on
He'll
the
help.
Edge. Yes.
But he would have helped in either. If he were on the field as a defensive end in the 3-4, he would have helped Eric Moore standing up or whatever. The issue is still the lack of talent and bodies on the edge. And I got to think the fact that Matt Roth is out there, he wasn't happy with if they had an offer or whatever. I mean, that would have seemed at this point, we talk about the musical chairs game, the music stopping, you got to find a seat. Hmm. He had an opportunity to find a seat, and for some reason, either the seat didn't want him or he didn't want
right.
the seat.
And right. by the way, that's three guys this week at that spot that they've worked out.
Right.
Raheem Brock, Matt Roth, and Quentin Moses.
Oh, I thought they brought in, didn't they bring in Manny Lawson?
No, not that I'm aware
not
of.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I don't know why either.
But they
may
have.
I would have liked him for 1 year and $3 million.
They may have.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe they looked at that as too expensive.
Oh, Sam, you got anything else?
Yeah, I mean,
Sam's gone.
Don't get mad.
It's always two something.
Thanks for the call.
Value's not good because of the draft pick. The value's not good because of the money. The value's not good because of the year.
And they call me negative.
How about we just sign a guy?
Let's get another call in here, 508-298-0398. Steve in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. First of all, I'm loving the show, and I just have to say, like, when Fred started announcing your full lineup with In the Playbook and Pete Shepard, it was like, and the pre-show, it's just, wow, I can't wait.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Tell your friends.
You sound
overwhelmed.
Make sure you throw a party for the first regular season game. Get everybody listening,
right.
calling in. That's what we want. We want everybody involved.
Have a tailgate for the pregame social.
Well, have a party.
You know, and here's the thing. The difference between the pregame social and what we do here, we're going to actually have two producers for the pregame social who, you know, if you're having a tailgate party, you snap a picture and email it to us. You're going to be listening from our Facebook page, and we'll post your photo right there. You can comment on the show. You don't have to wait for us to read the email. You'll be able to put comments on the page that you're listening from right there and then, you know, in addition to sending us emails and making phone calls. So really it is a way for everybody to kind of get together. We're calling it the world's biggest virtual tailgate.
And we'll read some of those comments.
Steve,
we'll read some tweets.
I don't know if I'm going to have a tailgate party because of basically I'm – you know, I'm in Toronto, and I'm one of the few Patriot fans in here, I guess.
I'll bet you there's more than that. You got to look, Steve. There's more Patriots fans than you think up there.
And even if it's just football fans, bring the guys over to watch some football.
Even if it's just a couple guys that want to come over and have some beers.
And talk really fast.
Yeah.
We do that all the time. In fact, I was supposed to go to the Argos game tonight, but we're going to get together with buddies and just watch it on watch it at a bar.
See, so perfect.
And then you can watch some football when the Patriots are on.
Oh, didn't
Corey legit?
That was cruel.
18?
Yeah, I'm only kidding. We love the CFL.
18, maybe?
Ish.
Well, anyway, my point is I wanted to weigh in on Haynesworth, not the high motor thing.
Please, good.
Okay.
All right.
Please stop that.
Okay.
What I wanted to say about Haynesworth is I saw the interview, and I can say the same thing about Ocho Cinco as well. I watched both their interviews. And I think both of those guys, from just the way they talk, they still feel like they have something to prove, and they have a newfound sort of, they realize it's a second chance, and they realize that, you know, this is kind of it. I see a new determination with them. And I think they're both going to have great years because of that. You can, as Paul mentioned before, Haynesworth had his big year in 2008. I think you're going to see another one like that.
You could.
Well, it would be great.
I think just that both men are motivated, like highly motivated. And I think that's going to – and plus, you know, Haynesworth is going to be playing beside Will Fork all year, and Will Fork's going to rub off on him.
Good. Hopefully.
And, Freddie, you've already noticed that.
Yes,
I saw them working together in some drills last night, doing some technical stuff, and maybe that will.
I know, and this probably doesn't mean anything. Thanks for the call, Steve. You know, when on the first day that Haynesworth was on the field, the day that he got chopped down, I don't think he said two words to Will Fork. And I'm like, I wonder what's going on here. But last night,
ice broken now?
These guys were inseparable.
Really?
Those two on it, of course.
Yeah,
broke.
So that's to me, that's a good thing, you know, because Vince is, you know, in addition to Mayo, I would say he's the leader of that defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs to accept Albert. Albert's coming on his team. you know. So I'll accept you when I'm ready. And looks like that has happened, which is good. David Northpark says, with Algie gone, who will pick up the blocking responsibilities that went to him last year? If it's G-Force, will that affect his production in the passing game?
Well, it'll be some G-Force because he is a very good blocker, but Paul's boy, Lee Arthur Smith, is sold to us as a inline blocker, a very powerful blocker.
That's his strength.
Blocker. So we'll see. We haven't really seen much of that in camp so far. That'll be a preseason type thing.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Solder finally gets in and has enough time to work in the system. If he's not starting at guard, at tackle, put him in as the extra blocking
guard. Or any of them. Mark Lavoie,
yeah,
or
any
whoever
of those guys.
The third tackle is that day could certainly contribute.
And
I'm
we've
really
seen them do
that.
We've seen them do that, so it's not like that's going to be a big
I'm not big really
problem.
Worried about that. My bigger fear is not even a fear. It's just I think you can't emphasize how much Algie was a leader in that group last year. And I just wonder who's
more
gonna,
of a parent
yes,
than a leader.
Who's going to guide those two when they get a little... You know, it's like when Fred tells me, all right, Andy, all right, ease down. Mm. Sometimes I need that. And when he wasn't here, when it was just me and Lindsay, the show went off the tracks.
The difference is sometimes we have to do that with Fred, and Hernandez and Gronk didn't have to do that with Algie last year.
And I'm mildly concerned about that, that off the field, just who's going to keep those guys in line.
Strippers writes in, Scarface, go Pelicans. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure Eric does.
That's what I said. Fly, Pelican, go Pelican.
No, but what's the Scarface?
From Scarface.
From Scarface.
Oh, okay. I forget that part. Aaron says, let's remember about Paul's intuition. He also had a strong intuition that LeBron James would re-sign with Cleveland because of the way he was acting handling the offseason. He also felt that Jason Taylor was going to be a Patriot based on the way he and Mr. Kraft were interacting. If he has a
I had an intuition about LeBron James.
I guess. Mm. If he has a gut feeling Albert was being derogatory, then most likely Al was not comparing himself to someone else he once played with and meant nothing by it.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Paul's gut feelings really carry a lot of weight around here.
The Jason Taylor thing was based on Robert Kraft's comment that said, I think we're going to sign him. I know that was way out of the box, but that's where I based that one on. LeBron James, I don't ever remember opining on in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I'm sure you did. You opine on a lot.
I don't really think much of LeBron James, so I'm not really sure.
It's never stopped you from weighing in on something, though.
And weighing in heavily.
Oh, boy. hello, mature adults, is WBD and Andy. I cannot believe that Bill will change his defense to a 4-3. He may be using even more sub-packages, but he won't change his base from a 3-4 to a 4-3. I think they might use a four-man front more on passing downs to provide pressure on the quarterback. I believe that Jermaine Cunningham will be a much better defensive end than outside linebacker. He might have been even more confused out there at linebacker than Fred is during an argument. thanks for keeping us updated. And Jared Allen is maybe one of the biggest high motor guys in the league.
I would put Jared Allen as high motor.
Absolutely.
I would too.
Okay.
All right. Great.
Yep. Finally something you can agree on.
Right.
Let's see.
Stock market is tanking today, by the way.
What else?
It's down like 300 points.
The only good news is oil's been going down, too.
Doesn't help our 401ks, though.
No, I don't know why gas
is. I just started mine last
week. $4.
It's already in the tank.
Thanks a lot.
Fidelity called. I mean, somebody else called. You want more money?
No, it's still them.
I probably am negative.
Oh. I asked about that.
Let's see.
It's in slow motion. It's the end of the show. Yeah, I know. Most hosts would be rushing. Usually, let's squeeze in a few emails before we get out of here. And
usually he ends 5 minutes early.
Let's see. I'm going to talk slow.
Eric's going to talk to me about how to run a show.
When I hear the last podcast he did was an absolute debacle. Everybody says it was a debacle.
Mike and Sunny.
A lot to talk about.
Mike and Sunny, Florida, says the draft.
Screw you, bitch.
The draft now makes a lot more sense if there is a switch to the 4-3. Bill may have decided that there is too much competition these days for 3-4 players. Any word on Raheem Brock?
No.
Nope.
Why does the draft now make sense? Robert Quinn played the 4-3 in North Carolina. He projected as a potential 3-4 outside linebacker. If I'm not mistaken, the St. Louis Rams play a 4-3 defense under Steve Spagnuolo, who built the Giants defense that beat the Patriots with a pass rush. So why couldn't we have drafted Quinn to play end if we wanted to go play end? Thank you.
No further questions.
Unless they just didn't like him.
Well, that's possible. Yeah. That's certainly possible.
But there were some other options out there.
But we're still saying the 4-3 front might be nice, but we need some more talent on the edge. So get some edge talent. Get some 4-3 edge talent. Just get some talent.
Let's see.
He's in slow motion again. What is wrong with you?
Well, it's 2 o'clock.
So, Rush,
end the show.
So got a couple more emails.
I'm going to end the show.
I'll give you $5 for the whole effing thing.
What does that mean?
I don't know. What was that from?
I'm running out of Fred Drops.
Are you supposed to read these, by the way?
Yeah, what is this? I'm doing the show, and all of a sudden, Kevin comes and starts pasting things to the wall. It says, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
It's the new name of the studio, Andy.
We have a new name of the studio, and that is the Subway Fresh broadcast studios?
That's it.
Subway.
Yep.
The sub maker.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we have to get lunch from them, does it?
No, but it means I brought my foot long. Oh!
No,
Andy's been waiting all
day.
Yeah,
since yesterday.
Yeah. But that is...
I hear the Patriots really like cocks as well.
That is official.
That is official. This is now the Subway Fresh broadcast studios.
That copy was provided to me while we were in the show and hot
off
the presses.
So what we welcome...
Right out of the oven?
Subway.
Eat fresh.
We welcome our new naming sponsor and what it does to our credibility. It just shows that people are now paying attention to this little
willing to invest
operation
money in this broadcast
that we've got down here in the bowels of Gillette Stadium.
Can we get a commercial?
$5.
We're going to have to do one with that Jared guy. And...
with Jay Glazer. Yeah. Maybe he can come on. Jay Glazer.
Well, we have our own Jared. Belo looks like Jared.
That's true. We could, yeah, that's
a lot of the players call him Jared.
Rodney.
So, yeah.
Rodney used to call him Jared all the time.
Hot dogs and sausages.
All right. Well,
it took an hour and 59 minutes, but we got a good drop.
All right, that's going to be it from
the
Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. And I know eventually I'm going to have trouble saying that.
Eventually.
We will see you on Tuesday. Practices throughout the week and weekend. Stay in touch with Patriots.com
Twitter,
the
blog.
The app and the Twitter and the blog. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Hot dogs and sausages.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Think you know more about the Patriots than Andy Hart?
I was so wrong.
Prove it. Inside the Patriots pregame social. The pregame social is the only interactive radio pregame show that lets you be a part of the show.
People won't like this show.
So what are you waiting for? Join the Patriots pregame social every game day. Live on the Patriots Facebook page. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.